Hi, I'm Maddie Hockaday, also known as the Anne of this relationship.
And I'm Holly Constant, the Leslie.
We love Parks and Rec. We love behind the scenes.
And we love each other. This is literally the best Parks and Recreation rewatch show.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Yeah, all
but
good.
Anyways, okay, well, so shall we get started on Divorce Horse?
Let's do it.
Also, side note, this is not actually called Divorce Horse. It
right.
is.
I just call it that.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. What is this episode actually called? It's
Tom's
just called
Divorce.
Tom's Divorce.
Tom's
okay.
Divorce.
And that's like, okay, I was talking to Sean about this too, and I'm pretty positive I made up the term divorce horse because even in the show, he doesn't like say divorce
Unless
horse.
It's later, but I think it's just, it rhymes, so we feel
yeah, like on IMDb, he's literally called Pantomime Horse.
Oh,
wait,
so we literally the only people.
It doesn't make sense. Pantomime Horse means that you're like pantomiming, you know, like I'm in a box miming.
Oh, yeah. But is that what it means?
That's what pantomime means, yeah.
Oh.
So. But that's not what he's doing. I don't know. Whatever.
No.
If anything, I was like a singing telegram. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I like Divorce Horse. If it was coined here, you heard it here, folks.
Yeah. Literally. Okay. Well, so I have a bit of a recap from last time. It's not too long, but we talked about hunting finds because in Hunting Trip, Ron talks about, you know, since Tom didn't have his license, he would have been like, you know, fined, maybe jail time, all that stuff. So I looked up different states that had hunting fines. And in Tennessee, which is where Sean and I are, if you hunt without a license, you could be fined up to $500, 6 months in prison or both, which
what?
Is 6 months in prison for hunting without a license, you guys. So get it together.
I want to know how they make the decision if you're paying the fine or spending time in prison.
I don't know.
Or both.
Right.
What did you do that was so bad that you have both?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
so
human.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's
you. Crazy.
Is $500 equal to 6 months in prison? That
I
seems
know.
A little unbalanced.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
6 months in prison is a long time.
Yeah.
For $500, that
Maybe
seems like
depends.
A really bad parking ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like you, if you like take the deer with you or whatever you hunted with you and not just killing it, you know what I mean?
Like, I feel like killing it would be worse and then not
is
eating
it?
It.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't
know.
Hunt.
Anyway, so it's the same in Virginia, but apparently in Virginia, it's a class 3 misdemeanor and it's on your record forever.
Oh,
so
shoot.
There's that. In Indiana, I looked it up as well because, you know, parks. And you can hunt on your own land without a license, but you have to show proof of ownership. So that's the same in Virginia, actually. So, like, if you have a farm or, like, just a lot of acreage that you own, you can feel free to hunt. In fact, you can also get, permission, like if your neighbor wants to hunt on your land, you can ask them and it's like totally fine. I don't know if that's necessarily like quote legal, but I know people who do it because I have like uncles and stuff who like hunt on their friends' lands or whatever, and that's totally fine. But anyway, it doesn't really make it clear that if you don't have a license, you'll be fined. It just says unlawful taking, this is in Indiana, of animals, incurs a $500 for the first violation and $1,000 for every subsequent. So unlawful taking of animals, again, I think would just be like taking the animal after you've killed it as opposed to just killing it and leaving it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is conjecture. Regardless.
Well, maybe because you can make money from it.
Oh, maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
What
Maybe.
If you're, like, selling it and making, like, jerky or something? Like, that might make it worse.
Maybe. Yeah. Regardless, you guys, you need a license. So don't hunt without a license.
Don't hunt without a license.
I did look it up in Arizona, and it doesn't really look like there's the same kind of hunting in Arizona because there's different wildlife, terrains, all that
good
stuff.
Yeah, what do you hunt in
they
Arizona?
Have elk, turkey,
oh.
Gila
question.
Monster.
Which what?
The
have you ever heard of that?
Monster.
No.
It's a Gila monster.
Oh, a Gila monster.
It's Sean a gross
heard tequila.
Yeah, it's tequila. It's like a like the old like fable or whatever. It's a Gila monster. Like
that's awesome. Someone write that children's book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
For adults.
Okay, but Gila monster. What?
Yeah, it's like a lizard. You should look up a picture of it. It's gross looking, and I did not know it existed until I moved here. I will tell you something. I had to take a first aid class when I first moved here. And I learned that we live in Arizona. It is the Australia of the United States. Literally half of the things that live here can kill you.
It's this, Sean. It's like a speckly.
Oh, and it's not that big, but it can kill you?
Yeah. Wow. It's poisonous.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys, so, look it up if you're not looking. It's G-I-L-A.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a, Gila. Yeah.
So,
in,
they also
in,
have.
In Spanish, the G makes an H sound.
Right. Correct.
Sounds terrible.
Except for in Gracias.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyways, no, but they also have, Arizona also has mountain lions, evidently, and you can also mm-hmm. do deer with archery. It's mm. archery only. Whereas in Virginia.
That would be so hard.
So hard. Mm-hmm. Well, in Virginia, they have specific seasons for it. Like, this is your archery season. Yeah. This is your rifle. This is your bow. You know what I mean? Well, bow and archery, same thing. But you know what I mean?
Do you think they do that so that you're safe? So, like, you're not accidentally getting shot with a rifle when you're out there shooting with a bow and arrow?
Huh.
Potentially. I also think it's for, that's a good recap moment too. God, I'm going to have a lot of hunting in my search history. But no, I think it's also for like monitoring how many deer are killed, because no, I don't think as many are killed with archery.
Oh.
And not many people do it, you know?
That's true.
So there's that. But cool. Anyway, so that was my recap. bravo to me. Thank you.
Yes, good job.
Don't hunt without a license.
Say it again, kids.
Say it again. War. Okay. Okay. Tom's Divorce. This was directed by Troy Miller. He is a producer and director. A bunch of stuff. Arrested Development, Flight of the Conchords. We talked about him. He actually directed Ron and Tammy, which is wild because I think that Sean is just a Troy Miller like episode.
Yeah.
Person. I guess that's what's going to happen. But like we talked about, he also has done a lot of specials, like comedy specials. And he also directed Jack Frost. Remember we talked about
no
that?
No way. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a sad
we did.
I know. We did talk about that. That's the one with the snowman. Oh, my God. Not going to say it again. Look it up.
They
it's
die.
Such a good
he
film.
Dies.
Which, not a spoiler, like we also mentioned last time, because it's at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. But it's so good. It's a great film. But he directed 7 episodes of Parks and Rec, including Ron and Tammy, like we talked about. The Setup, which is the one with Will Arnett, a.k.a. Amy's ex, who plays the MRI technician. And it's
can't
really
wait till
awkward.
We get there.
Oh, my God. Same.
So good.
Were they married at that time?
Yes.
Oh, they wow. were.
Mm-hmm. Nuts. Also, fun fact, he produced the 84th Oscars, which is interesting. He's done like a lot of live specials and stuff, which the 84th, I looked it up. It was the one with the Descendants and the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, shoot.
That era. But okay, so
I've never seen that movie, girl. We were just talking about that. Sierra, we were like, she loves that movie.
Really? I've never seen it either. Have you seen it, Maddie?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. That's with, what's
with
his
Daniel
face?
Daniel Craig,
Bond.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Balls. Yeah, it was books first, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I read
those
the
books
book,
were
actually.
Like so popular.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And there's a bunch of them. They're at a new one, like the girl in the spider's web, or like there's like they keep going.
Yeah. Fun
with different
names.
Names.
But anyway, so last time I messaged him on Instagram, and he did not message me back. But this time I found his production company called Dakota Pictures, and I sent them a message via their contact site. I also found his agent. I messaged his agent.
She will find you.
And I mean, I was just thinking about what Chris said, where she was like, you know, people have messaged her, like her agent, to get in touch with her to be on podcasts. I was like, I'm doing it. I don't even care. But anyways, so Troy Miller, please reach out to us. I'd love to speak to a director. Also, you guys, his agent. So this was another reason why I almost didn't do it. But then I was like, fuck it. I don't care. Because it was more of an info at X, Y, or Z. Most of these guys are John Legend.
Or John Legend at hotmail.com.
But his agent also represents Lisa Kudrow, a.k.a. Phoebe.
Oh, wow.
Her friends, Jamie Foxx, Kristen Ritter, Bruce Willis. Like, he represents
damn.
All these people. So I was like, oh, God. But I don't care.
That's
I
a list.
Him anyways, it is a list. And that's why I think that they try to weed it out. But I put in the subject line, attention to Troy Miller and his agent, which is Steve Smook, I want to say. But anyways, so that was directed by Troy Miller, and then it was written by Harris Whittles. So pour one out, because Harris has left this earth, but pour one out. Yes. Yes. So I have now written summary. I will not miss it again.
You got me. It really was only like, it's really only been like twice, Holly. In the 7 months we've done this, 8 months
well,
we've done
this. Well, the first time that's I didn't have it written down. The second, no, yeah, the first time I wasn't a thing to write it in my notes. And then I kept missing it. So I was like, I mean, I would say it, but I wouldn't write it. And then last week I didn't write it. And I was like, oh my God.
This is your show. You can do whatever
Yeah. Where are you? But Maddie, I like that you interrupted me. I need you to interrupt faster and louder, and I will take it.
Well, once we started on the opening last time, I was like, we're already in it. I'll just put it where we usually would hear the theme song, and it's going to be fine. So,
okay, that's fair. Okay.
I figured. Okay. But anyway, here we go. So, okay. In the midst of Tom getting a divorce, Leslie and the Parks Department rally around Tom to help him get his mind off of it with the obvious dinosaur-themed dinner followed by a strip club. Meanwhile, Andy tries to win Anne back by hustling Mark in a game of pool.
Ooh! That little beeline is so hilarious. Such a good
story. Every beeline with Andy is so good.
I was going to say, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, this cold open is the first talk of the fourth floor. I think that we have not seen the fourth floor. I think we've talked about it, but maybe we haven't.
I think we've never been there. You're right, though.
Yeah, we've never seen it. But Leslie has to go up there to talk to the Parks van people about a late registration, and Ron won't go because he doesn't want to. That's what he says. Also, who let the van get out of date for registration? Whose job is that? Is that April?
Have we also seen a Leslie van thing. Do we see the Parks van?
No, I've never seen a Parks van. Well, we haven't seen it on the show, but I'm sure that's a thing. Yeah.
I see Parks and Rec, like trucks and stuff here.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean,
in the show,
parks.
We haven't seen it.
No, not in the show.
No.
We just.
Oh, wait. Is it the van that they do on the. Wait, have they had the.
The stakeout?
Night? The stakeout?
Yeah. No, I don't think maybe that's a Parks van.
That's not the Parks van.
No, because she wanted to, like, keep it off of.
off books,
I feel. Uh-huh. Well, or maybe she. I don't know. I mean, I guess she could have used the Parks, like, company card if that is a thing. But, like, it doesn't have Parks on the side of the van or anything. It's not marked. Yeah.
You're right. It's just white.
So, yeah,
this is also
so
funny.
The only time I've ever heard Leslie not want to do a job.
Yeah.
That's how bad the fourth
floor
is.
That's how bad the
fourth floor is. That's how bad it is.
I love, like, that green Instagram-y filter they put, like, over the fourth floor. It's just, like, it's so
it's like phlegm or something.
It's so bad.
It reminds me of an asylum. That's kind of the vibe I get. Like,
totally.
Isn't there like a flicker of lights and stuff? Yeah. And people are
like chipped paint
wandering around.
And she steps off the elevator into like the giant blood puddle.
Yeah, yeah. Gross! Or something puddle. Yeah, totally.
The guy selling urine.
Oh my God. That guy.
And before this, we were just watching it like to recap. And we were like, I wonder how much urine goes. What's the rate for urine? I would sell urine. I mean, like, if it's like, what are you thinking of $50 a bag, a liter? Is it by the liter? That's a lot of urine.
Liter? No, that's like half of a soda. Pint? Like the big soda bottles that you get for parties.
So pint.
But all you need is like a little cup.
It's a couple ounces.
Yeah.
And a cup.
I did. I do it.
Okay, let's find it. Somebody. Let's find it. But I wonder, can they test it and trace it back to you? They can, right? Mm.
Does urine
if they have your DNA,
DNA
somehow, yeah.
Yeah.
Does urine contain DNA?
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, it's got to.
Yeah. Well, you. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, well, this guy's selling urine
and buying it.
And buying it, evidently. Is named John Lee Ames. He's been a bunch of stuff, including 911, Lone Star, which has Rob Lowe in it. Hello, aka Chris Traeger.
I watched the other 911. Have you ever seen
that
show?
Is that the one with Angela Bassett?
Yeah, and Connie Britton. It was. It's really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. Oh no! Wait.
Do you remember that thing? Remember I sent you that thing of the guy who fall this is not funny, but who falls out of the roller coaster? Do you remember?
You didn't send me that.
It's like some of the funniest editing. It looks like he just goes like bloop, like out of the and I'll have to find
it.
Anyhow.
But
it's the 911. No, it's like a
it's
like a dramatized show. Yeah, the 911 show.
I thought you were talking about like a real life thing that happened and I was like, Sean, inappropriate.
No, this is a TV show. Because it's all 911 calls. Anyhow, go on.
Anyhow. Okay, so he's also been in Shameless, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I did message him on Instagram, and he hasn't messaged me back yet, so whatever. But he does creature work, too, like Doug Jones. Remember, we talked about Doug Jones, who Chris has met at Comic-Cons. He plays Billy in Hocus Pocus, the one with the skeleton.
That's called creature work?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Creature work. Like, if you think of any creatures, like Groot, Hellboy.
Creature.
Well, Groot doesn't count, I guess, because he's CGI. But anyway, also
would you count? Sorry, my brain went to Schmeagle. Would that be character?
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's acting everything out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, see, that's like really interesting. I don't know what the line is. Maybe I'll ask Chris, because it seems like a lot of creature work is more of like special effects makeup and stuff. But Schmeagol and Gollum and all that were like,
CGI. There's
CGI. In the suit thing.
Buttons or the
dots. Right.
Andy Serkis is just a beast with that stuff. He's so good.
I can't believe that's the same guy in 13 Going on 30.
Oh my God, he's the boss?
He's the boss in 13 Going on 30. It's insane.
He's also the bad guy in Black Panther.
Oh, that's right.
I need to rewatch that. I totally forgot about that.
Oh my God, Black Panther. Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with that. Sorry, but the guy died. The Black Panther, he died in real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Pour one out. Ugh. Anyway, okay. So I'm
that was a surprise.
What was? Him dying.
Him dying.
Chad Boswick.
Because he like kept it a secret.
Yeah.
He kept it. Yeah.
And he was like working and being an activist like through it all.
Crazy.
Yeah. What a dude.
What a dude. The fear of the fourth floor refers to tetraphobia. FYI. Looked this up. The superstitious fear of the number four, you guys. It is China. A thing.
Hashtag China.
What do you mean?
They do the same thing we do with 13. There's no fourth floor.
Oh.
No. Really?
The houses there are 1233A and 1233B.
What?
Uh-huh. And then it goes back to 1235.
Wow.
Yeah, they're super superstitious about the four.
Interesting.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is crazy. I really also, we talked about this a little bit, but I really do love the camera work. Like, it's kind of like when Ron gets shot with the Blair Witch Project almost. Yeah. It's like really, it's like shaky, really shaky and scary.
And running. And
yeah, I think that is super fun.
Oh my God, the popcorn thing. Yes. That might be one of my favorite lines of where they have the wrong oil so that a bunch of people had their throats cut out. And then the popcorn guy.
You added the cutout. She says, get their throats replaced.
Okay. Well, you have to cut it out. You got to cut something out. But that popcorn guy, I want to see like a whole show just on the popcorn guy.
I know.
He's so popcorn.
I laughed out loud when he comes in the frame. Like, you don't expect that at all. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I mean, this is the first time that I've looked at all the characters in, like, hodgepodge of people in the fourth floor. Like, there's the homeless guy randomly laughing, or what it looks like. There's that guy. Remember those beanies with the little cap? And that guy's, like, being led out.
There's a lady with, like, the Motley Crue hair, and she has a walker.
It's insane.
So funny.
And then we see the sadness of Leslie seeing Tom and Wendy walking out of divorce court. Hashtag sad.
But, so sad.
Yeah, I also really love Leslie's questioning. Like when so this is after the cold open, but like when she's talking to Tom and she's like, "How are your
institutions?" It's like the worst way to ask anyone.
I know.
A question.
Oh my gosh,
her tone is so hilarious. Also, what is her shirt? Did you notice her shirt, Manny or Sean?
No.
It's like this ruffled moment. Yes, that's
her
happening.
Fashion definitely like changes as
when
the
she
show
starts
goes
running
on.
For
it's questionable.
When she starts running for city council, it gets really good. Like the pantsuits all match, except for those pair of pants she tries on that say "nympho" on the back. Everything's pretty good.
Oh my God! So, that is.
But it says it on the butt.
I know, which implies other things.
It implies.
Oh my God, that is too much, too much. Yeah, it's so good. But I also, I mean, I talked to one of, remember I said I, like a while ago, I talked to one of the, or I emailed with one of the costume designers, but she doesn't come on until I think the third season. So like the first two seasons are different, which you can see. You can see that if you really pay attention. Yeah. So anyway.
I was also wondering about her hair, because isn't it flipped out a little bit? It doesn't rest on her face. It flips out a little bit too in this episode.
Oh, I wasn't even really paying attention. Yeah. I mean, I you know, could tell that it was curled, but I wasn't like paying attention to like if it was different or not.
Yeah, it changes when they go to the restaurant, but in this opening, like
at
the office.
I really want to talk to the hair in person here too, because I feel like I like her natural look much better. Like, she is clearly dyed here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like, clearly dyed blonde, almost like a yellowish. Yeah. Moment.
Oh, but yeah, it is very.
Sorry, Sean.
No, I was just saying it is very yellowy. Yeah.
Oh, how much play do they really have? Like, the people who are doing hair, don't they just they leave and they get their hair cut, or they get their hair colored, and then the hairstylist has to just kind of deal with what it is? Or do you think the hair department is in complete control of what they're dyed and everything like that?
Well, yeah, you're probably right. But the producers have a huge say. And even in the office, they like the department kind of has a say in like what it looks like. You know what I mean? Usually the director can also like have a pretty big say in like, you know, I want her hair to look a little bit more, you know, ashy or whatever, you know?
Okay, so you, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
But also,
discussion.
This is the second season. So maybe there isn't, you know, a lot of leeway right now. And that's not a priority. So there's that.
Yeah.
But also, she doesn't know who Avril Lavigne and the Sum 41 guy are.
Yes. I love that comment. Which, I looked this up.
Yes. Okay?
So, his name, by the way, is Derek Whibley.
Yep.
Okay. Love that she's like, doesn't know who that is. They got married in 2006 and they got divorced in 2010. So they were together at least for 4 years, because I'm assuming they dated before. But I was looking this up and God knows what's going to happen now that I've Googled this 15 different ways. a green card marriage has to last like 3 years for it to be viable. It's I got different answers, anywhere between 24 and 36 months.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if they, I don't know how long Tom and, I don't think we're ever told how long they were married, but that's the research I did, is that I found out it at least had to be 2 to 3 years. Mm. And so I'm like, did they end up staying married longer just in case? Or does she not know how long they're together?
Well, Avril is from Canada. So I wonder if like another, you know what I mean? Like just like another parallel.
That's cool.
Yeah. She had a work permit, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do wonder how long Tom and Wendy have been together. That's a great question. Maybe we, I don't think we find that out ever.
I mean, it's definitely a bit. It's before the show starts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating to me. But I mean, was that like, I don't know, maybe not because of Beijing, but was that a big deal for you, like Avril Lavigne and the Sum 41 guy?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't live here. So I don't remember her even getting
married. That's what I was asking, if it was like, Beijing.
I was huge into her when Skater Boy came out, and that didn't happen in 2006. That happened. Okay. That had to happen in 2004, 2005 before I moved, because I was huge into that album. Like I had the CD and I knew every line to every song on that album. But
oh my god,
that had to have happened after I moved there, because I do not remember her getting married. Don't remember her getting divorced.
Yeah,
and then I found
over
out when
here,
I got back.
It was a big deal.
Okay,
it was huge.
Yeah, I do
in
remember
all
that.
The J14 Teen Beat magazines.
Yes,
that
those
is
magazines.
What we talked about. Which I've been like in a real Avril Lavigne kick lately, because our friend Ren was talking about how she was listening to Avril Lavigne like on her walk one time, and I was like, why don't I do that?
She put out an album semi recently, like did. Within I don't know if it was in the pandemic or the right before. It was really good.
And now she's dating some punk rocker fella who like they do, you know, songs together. But they've done songs together. And I follow her on Instagram. Okay, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but that's what a podcast is. But have you heard this whole theory that Avril Lavigne is dead and that a clone slash like doppelganger has been taking her place for the last like 3 or 4 years?
No.
It's this huge like Reddit internet sub thread.
Like
and
the Paul McCartney thing.
Is that the same like story for Paul McCartney?
Yeah, it was like Paul was dead when Abbey Road came out, and there was all this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was all that.
What?
It's a huge conspiracy.
People still think he's dead.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's what people are saying about Avril, because they're all like, "Well, when was the last time you see her perform?" Or like, "When was the last time you saw her live?" Man. Kind of thing. And I mean, she has videos on Instagram, but again, who's to say if that's her?
Could be a hologram.
I'll tell you something now. People have way too much fucking time on their hands.
I know. Can you imagine?
Googling that, going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Let's create this, because I spend all of my time thinking that Avril Lavigne is probably dead.
Yeah, that's too much, man.
Sad. Tom exits out, or April. Leslie exits out of the computer. And I mean, I think I autosave everything like every 5 seconds, because I'm terrified that it's going to, you know, die and then it's not going to be saved.
That's why I love that line. Kind of feels like that's your fault.
Yeah. You should have autosaved that.
You should have. So funny.
I think one of my favorite lines is when she says, "I've seen you look at her ass when she leaves the room."
Yeah.
True
you love,
love
her.
Equals love. Looking at ass equals love. For less.
When it comes to Tom Haverford.
Although that we see that later with Ben, she's always looking at his ass.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's how she feels. She's an ass lady. Yeah. You know?
Yes. I love this statistic of divorce being the second most stressful thing.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
And marriage being the seventh. So it's all bad.
It's all bad.
Is that real? Did you look that up?
I didn't look that up, but I've heard that on many.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, marriage is up there with divorce.
Let's see, top stressful. Do you
feel that way,
events.
Sean? Being married for almost a year now, right? Almost a year.
Yeah, I mean, no. I wouldn't say it's stressful, but maybe it gets stressful. Maybe it's like one of the things where it gets stressful as you go
down the road.
But, I mean, I can imagine divorce being.
Oh yeah.
Way more stressful than.
My mom had to be put on medication for her blood pressure during her divorce.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude. I mean, divorce is the worst.
What's number one?
Number one, death of a spouse or child. Stressful. Yeah. Number two is divorce. Number three, this must be the same article because this is lining up with what Leslie's saying. Number three, marital separation. So that's like obviously when you get separated, not divorced.
Yeah.
But basically leading the same thing. Mm-hmm. Number four, imprisonment. Okay. Number five, death of a close family member. So number one is death of a spouse or child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number five is death of a close family member. Number six, personal injury or illness. Number seven, marriage. Number eight, dismissal from work. Dismissal. That was a very nice way.
That's a nice way to say it.
You got canned.
You fired. Number nine, marital reconciliation, which I'm guessing is like a therapy type situation. Maybe
You're getting back. You're trying to make it work.
And number 10 is retirement.
What? Oh, I bet that's just getting used to your life.
Yeah, the change.
Different.
That would make sense. That is a stressful moment for sure.
Can we talk about the fact that imprisonment is not as stressful as divorce?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's sad.
Divorce, man. Don't get divorced. It seems like.
But you know, sometimes you got to get divorced.
Yeah. I mean, when you got to do it, do it. But if you don't have to do it, maybe don't do it.
And it's expensive as hell. That's why it's also stressful. Sign a prenup. Because your whole fine. Yeah, sign that.
Well, and all divorce is just to, you know, benefit the lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, or the kids that are a part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Winkity wink, wink, wink.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so financially stressful because you're wondering how you're going to pay for everything. Not only your kids, but your, you know, like you said, lawyers. And then you can't pay for food because you're just like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
And I'm wondering if that's why people do the separation thing is because we can't afford lawyers to do the divorce. So we're just going to live in separate houses. And
I do wonder how, like, because you can be legally separated. I wonder if the fees are less. Interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, moving on to happier subjects.
There yet. I haven't even walked down the aisle yet, so we're gonna
talk about it.
Yeah,
it's all bad.
It's all bad.
There. I think this is the first, or maybe second. I don't know, but it's one of the first Tom faces that we get. I feel
yes.
We've seen
it's not the first one, right?
Okay, but it's like I don't feel like it's as big of a deal. He has a Tom face.
Oh, like, yeah. Smiles. His little smile.
Yeah, exactly. Look at how happy I am. Oh, my God. There is a deleted scene that I wanted to play really fast.
I didn't watch the deleted scenes.
Oh, my gosh. Recorded it for you. there's a deleted scene. It's so special. It's actually a very nice Leslie and Anne moment because Anne is like trying to help Leslie like understand how to take care of Tom kind of thing. It's really cute. Okay.
You know, I read the study that ranked the worst possible stresses in a person's life and divorce was number two.
Wow. Were haircuts on there?
No.
I hate getting haircuts. What was number one? Robbing a bank? Cooking for four? Cooking for six.
The death of a spouse.
So what should I do about Tom?
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I would say just try and be there for him. You know, let him know he has a friend to talk to. Be his nice little safe bubble.
You're trying to tell me if you had to cook for 1,000 people.
It would be on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to agree with Leslie. I one of the things I stress out most in my life is my haircut. I will think about it for a month.
Really?
And I'm thinking about it now. I need to get one. Yeah.
What do you think about? What stresses you?
Because it's the relationship with the hairdresser. Because remember that time when I would go to a different hairdresser every time because I didn't want to get close with the hairdresser because it's weird. Because I don't like the talking part because I know it's like fake talking. It's never like
it's pretty.
It's always yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if you want to talk. But then that one time, I went. I was like, okay, I'm gonna be an adult and I'm gonna go to the same person for like 6 months or whatever. And then I the Ryan Adams guy, did I not tell you this story?
No, you did. You did.
Yeah. And then he like, he was terrible. He was like a horrible person. And he ended up like wanting to go camping with us. He's the one that told us about Land Between the Lakes. Oh. Yeah. And he was like, he like wanted to go.
Did you do Ryan Adams' haircut? Is that why you said his name?
No, his name is Ryan Adams.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And he hated Tom Petty. It was like the week that's after right. Tom Petty died and Learning the Fly came on. He was like, I hate this song. And I was that's like, right. I don't know how to but
cannot yeah. deal.
So after that, I'm back on my I hate hairdressers. No offense to anybody listening to this who's a hairdresser. I get so stressed about it.
Well, I think that you just need to find one that's like cool with not talking.
Maybe I just have to be upfront about that. But I want to talk. I don't know. See, it's
no,
a whole
I
thing.
Get it, but you just like have to have that certain level. Yeah. My hairdresser's great with that. Like I need a she friend doesn't talk.
Who is a friend first and then they can they cut hair and then I go to them. So it's just a friend thing.
I work the opposite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You should learn how to cut hair and cut my hair. I pay you for it.
Oh, well, why don't you just go to my gal?
I don't know her. I had to become friends with her first.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well,
anyhow.
She doesn't talk a lot.
Also, cooking for a six is stressful.
That is stressful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Leslie pulled a Michael moment here, though, like because she found out all this information from Anne, and then she has a talking head where she's like, I know all of this information.
That's so true.
I know. I think that deleted scene is great that it shows that Anne's the one that gave her all that information kind of thing. But anyway, Leslie's trying to get everyone to rally around Tom. April has like this weirdly empathetic moment where she says Leslie's right about like Tom having only like frat boyfriends and stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know if you noticed, this is maybe silly, but April's hair is curled and it's very styled.
It looks nice.
Yes. I'm like, is she trying to be all cute for fancy, maybe?
She might
I think so.
Maybe so.
Little April hair alert.
I know. April hair alert. New thing. There's a deleted scene also where everyone is being super nice to Tom and April like calls him buddy. I should have recorded it. April's like, hey, buddy. And then like when Tom leaves the room, she's like, love you. It's super awkward.
That's
and
awesome.
Weird. And like even Jerry and Donna are in on it and they're like being super sweet. Like Donna saying like, I like your suit. Oh my God. But it's like before like she would actually say that I feel. Huh. And it's in a weird way. But anyway, so now I'm at where Andy comes in to talk to Mark and Anne if that's where you are.
Have they done the whole conference room where they're talking about?
That's
Oh, where to go and what to take them and stuff. So they already talked about Jurassic Fork.
Well, they haven't talked about Jurassic.
Oh no, they haven't. Oh,
just,
okay.
No. That's just when they're like saying. That's what just when Leslie's being like,
I get you.
Okay, we need to get everybody together. Don't be like, no, I'm a man. Oh, I
that's
like
right.
Me.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah.
That was a really good run.
Yeah. They're in that. When Andy walks in, it's like one of the weirdest like. I noticed it this time when we watched it. It's one of the weirdest, like, Mark, Anne thing. They're, like, sitting there, like, talking about arc. Like,
oh, they
it's
did
like
that the
weird...
whole episode. Where, like, she's looking over his shoulder at his job, and then, like, the next scene that they're all in together after Jurassic Fork, he's, like, talking about something on his computer.
It's weird.
Like, with angles and architect, like, blueprints on the computer.
Know.
And But maybe he's just explaining how his job works.
Maybe. I don't know. Their relationship.
Right, you're right, though. They just don't have the chemistry that Anne has with other guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that honestly, is a great sometimes scene think them, Mark had more chemistry with Leslie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think
or
so.
Or maybe that's more with Amy, because I'm listening to that One Tree Hill podcast.
Uh huh.
And I don't have you guys watched One Tree Hill?
Yeah.
I have.
Okay.
I have.
So
yeah.
There's Haley and Lucas, right? Uh-huh. And they're best friends in the show. And I think they were saying, hey, the writers wanted to kind of make us have an interest in each other. And they just watched us and we didn't have the chemistry. But I had really good chemistry with this guy who I was never supposed to end up with. But they put him with me. So I think you also just with natural people, even as good of an actor as you are, chemistry is just such a natural thing.
Yeah,
but you can't really help it sometimes. So I wonder if that's what it was. Like they just didn't have chemistry.
Right,
Rashida and Paul.
Yeah. I mean, allegedly, that's why they have screen tests for auditions. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Well, maybe they just didn't know they were going to be together in the show at that point.
Right.
Yeah. When they did the auditions. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. Mark, they don't have that syphilis medicine that you wanted.
Have you ever done that? I do that to Sierra, my wife, all the time.
What?
We're like, I love, like, we'll be in the grocery store and I'll like talk really loud and be like, Sierra, did you pick up your adult diapers? Like, when people are around?
No!
I do it all the time. It's so fun. I'm going to do it to you next time we're in public.
React to that.
Well, at this point, she thinks it's funny, but now she's starting to do it to me.
Did she? I could see her doing that. Yeah. Wait, so, like, what? When or did like, that start? Do when did you she have the first time?
I don't know. You have that extra strength deodorant that the doctor told you about, Sierra? Yeah. Like, you always have to be near somebody, though.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That's so good.
That is hilarious.
Do it to your. Ivan. Yeah, Ivan or...
or your brother or somebody.
Somebody.
I totally do it to Connor.
I really like Mark's line, though, of like, what a surprise, running into you all day,
everywhere we are.
Every single place that we are.
My thing is, we think it's funny, right, watching it, and you're like, oh, I know what Andy's trying to do and everything, but like, if I put myself in Anne's shoes, like,
that
I would
be terrible.
So... Yeah, it's
awful. Can you imagine having somebody like that in your life right now? Like,
oh my god,
that would make your relationship really stressful.
So stressful,
especially at work and like, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, that's true at work too. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so funny because Andy truly thinks he's chipping away at their relationship.
Yeah,
like, I know.
Poor guy, little baby, so naive.
I love his little talking head of like, Mark never asked me for any specially shaped condoms.
Yeah,
I made that up.
Also, well, here's funny is,
why are they holding condoms at the shoe shine stand?
The shoe shine stand. I know. I love how it's just like a general store.
I know. I wonder if they really do have condoms or if that's just something that he asked for.
We should look next time.
Or like made up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. One of my favorite things though is when Parks or The Office like bleeps out the word fuck. I just think that, I don't know why, it gets me every time.
Wait, when do they say?
When Divorce Horse comes in, Aziz, I'm sorry, Tom, is like, oh, for fuck's sake. I think it's so funny. Do you have time, do you have anything before I talk about the amazing Divorce Horse?
That's my next note. So do it.
What's your next note? What do you want to say?
After that?
Yeah. After Divorce Horse. Or like for Divorce Horse, I'm sorry.
Oh, I literally just have Divorce Horse. I love this so much. Can I send this to someone?
I would totally love to send that to someone.
I know.
Oh my God.
You'd have to be careful who you're sending it to, though. You know, like I have certain people in my head where I'm like, I could do this and they would think it was funny. And certain people where I'm like, they would not like me after this.
I wonder what's the extent that the Divorce Horse would do.
Yeah, or like where he
obviously does
go.
The sorry one. Spoiler, but yeah, like, you know, does he do a lot of happy birthdays? I can't imagine that he does a lot of divorces.
Right.
No, it's probably birthdays, right?
Yeah, it's probably divorces.
Yeah.
Right, totally.
What would the song be for your birthday? It's your birthday, of course. So it has to be a chorus. It's always a chorus.
How does it start at the end? Leslie, sorry.
Leslie, sorry for what she said, of course. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We might have to go back and watch it when we get to that part. But okay, Divorce Horse. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's Leslie's sorry she called something selfish.
Oh, called you selfish. Leslie's sorry she called you selfish. Of course. She just didn't know the full story, of course. Now that she does, she's sorry, of course.
Of course.
Or forgives you, of course, or something. She's proud to be your deputy.
Yeah.
Or loves to be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Maddie, for that. Needed it. Well, this lovely fellow is named John Paul Burkhart. Oh my gosh. John Paul Burkhart. Thank you so much to John Paul. Special shout out to him. He's been at a bunch of things. He was actually in an episode of American Horror Story, which I don't super know which one. And I'm sorry because I don't watch that.
What's his name?
John Paul Burkhart. Yeah. With out the H. J-O-N. And he's also been in a bunch of things. He was like in ER, How I Met Your Mother. He actually has his own production company, which I will let him talk a little bit about later, because he was sweet enough to send us voice memos, which is so freaking exciting. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear them. I'm so grateful. I'll be playing them for you guys. So thank you to John for doing that. He was just like so gracious and generous, and he's been having a tough go of it with COVID, just like with some of his family members, which I'll send this to him. And if he wants me to cut that part out, I can. But it's just like, it's been a lot for all of us. I think we've all had some troubles, but it's like, he was so lovely and like said the question that I asked him before he answered it so that I could like cut around it, and soups profesh, loved it. But I wish I was like recording my reactions during this, you guys, because I was like gasping and like laughing and like screaming. It was amazing. But so the first question I asked him was about his audition, like I always ask our guests, and how he got the role. But I also asked him about the casting director, Dorian Frankel, who casts all the guest stars and co-stars and things like that. And I asked him how long it took. So this was the first question where I asked him how long it took. Oh, no.
Okay, it's good. It just... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So I asked him how long it took to find out that he actually got it, if he knew he was going to be in these costumes, and then also, of course, like general information about his audition. So that's what I'm going to play for you guys. I'm going to see. I'd like to play them on my laptop. So I'm going to see if you can hear this, Maddie, and then you can let me know if you do not.
Sorry. That's so exciting.
I know. He's so nice. Okay.
Hey, Holly, thank you for your patience, and thank you for inviting me to answer these questions. It's very exciting. I got the audition through my agent, J.D. Sobel. J.D. has been a great agent for me for years and years and years, and he has recently started handling only directors and writers, so I am actually no longer with him, but we still chat pretty frequently. I do remember getting the audition, and there wasn't much to it. There were the sides, and I had to sing a song, and I believe I came in the room with a song prepared, like a melody prepared. I was supposed to be a horse, but you know, I didn't want to dress as a horse for the audition, because that's, you know, crazy. So I believe suspenders and some pants that I felt just screamed like carnival attraction or something, and I felt like, you know, horse. I feel like this is that world. So I went in with my suspenders and my strange pants, and I had choreographed a little dance to the song that I was supposed to perform, and I went and I did that, and I remember she laughed. Dorian's very sweet. She has called me in multiple times for multiple roles, and I believe this is the only role that she's ever cast me in. And she's one of my favorite casting directors. She's just great in every possible way. She gives you a lot in the room. She's a lot of fun to read with. She's very chill, which always, you know, makes actors more chill. So I remember I did what I had planned to do when I came in, and she laughed. And she gave me a little bit of direction. I took it, and I did it again. And she said, great, that's all we need from you today. And I was like, okay, great, thanks. And I left thinking, okay, well, you know, that's another audition. And about 3 or 4 hours later, I got a call that I was pinned. And pinned, for an actor, means that they have... It's an old school term. It means that they have literally taken your headshot, put it on the wall, and put a pin in it, meaning we want to hire this guy. Probably. Sometimes they can pin more than one actor. but being pinned is always a good thing. So, that's how I got the job. I auditioned from my agent. I'll say again, I really enjoy Dorian. She's very sweet. She's kind of weird, which I like because I'm kind of weird. So, yeah. It's usually a day or two at most, really, for these smaller roles. To find out whether you booked it or not, which is nice actually, because you know that, and like after a day or two, you can just let go of it. Actually, my whole philosophy for auditioning is hit it and quit it. Go do your best, and then just let go. Don't ever think about it again. And if you get a call and you booked it, great. If not, you already let go of it. But it took only 3 or 4 hours for them to call and pin me, and then I believe I was booked by the next morning. No, I did not know. I assumed I would be in some sort of horse costume, but I had no idea. I had no idea that I was going to be in that. It was a lot of fun. The costume fitting was the only one of that I have ever had.
Thank you for that. Yeah. That was awesome.
That's
so cool.
Well,
pinning is so stressful, I feel. That should be added to the list of
stressful life very events. Stressful.
Just because, like, just it's such a love-hate moment. Because, like you said, it's such a good thing, but it's also such an annoying thing. Because you're like, oh, well, I can't really book anything else. Or can I book anything else? Because I want to be available for this thing. And like he also said, you can pin more than one. But anyway, so the second clip I'll play, and then I'll intersperse them. Or actually, I've got three clips for this one. So the second one, I asked him how he made up the melody of the song. Or, like, if... You know, if that was him, or did they give that to him, or like did he make it up, or you know, like what was the story with that? And let's see if I can.
Well, I actually, when I got the script, I remember because I like making up melodies. I'm a singer, and it just kind of something I can do. So when I got it, I was like, oh, fun, I get to create a melody. So I created an entire melody for the song and everything, and I was really proud of it. And it's been a while. It was a while ago when I auditioned, but I believe that I believe that, like, they sent me a melody after the fact. Like, I want to say, like, I came into the audition, I did my audition the way, like, I thought it should be, and with the melody that I had created, and then when I got cast in the role, they sent me the music that I should emulate, and of course, I did. You never want to say, no, I'm doing it my way. That's just a way to lose a job. But yeah, no, and that actually made everything a lot easier because I was like, oh, great, okay, I actually have notes to work toward. So yeah, so that's how that got melody, that melody got created. It was so much fun.
Yay! So that's the melody.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that he came into the audition with like something already made, which obviously is professional. But I also asked him if he like knew specifically who made up the lyrics of it, because I'm sure it was the writers, but he said he wasn't really sure like who got 100% credit. So, you know, it was probably just the writers of the episode putting it together, but he gave full credit to them. So that's good. And then the last little divorce horse clip that I will play, this one is the best. I'm not even going to preface it. I'm just going to say it, or have him preface it, if you will. So hold, please.
The two questions are, were you just on set for one day, and do you remember if it was really long? And then also, any memories or thoughts on your experience or performance that you remember, i.e. being on set, working in the same room with Aziz, Amy, or Ron? Did Divorce Orb have a backstory that you made up, LOL? Okay, I'll answer all that. Okay, here we go. Yes, I was on set for one day, one magical day. I do remember, very specifically that, you know, I being in this horse costume, it took two costume fittings to get it right. And, they did a great job, in my opinion, the costume designers, just a fantastic job with the horse. Although I could not move a lot, I had to have a horse wrangler at all times, especially when I needed to back up, because I could not back up on my own because the back end of my horse person buckled. So I always had to have someone behind me. So anyway, so I do very specifically remember hanging by the craft food table quite a bit because, you know, food is good, drinks are good. And also by the craft food table was a really friendly crew person who I talked to quite a bit. And we exchanged a lot of, like, you know, funny little words together. And then, sometime later I realized that funny crew person that I had been talking to for so long was actually Chris Pratt. So I chatted up an Avenger thinking he was a crew person.
That's amazing.
Which to this day just makes me laugh. But he was just so chill and so nice and just like didn't seem to really care too much about I don't know, all the problems or whatever on set. Yay. I actually had several conversations with Chris Pratt, so yay. It wasn't a necessarily long day. It was pretty much an average shooting day. I feel like it's been a while, but I remember that the set moved along pretty well. They had a job to do and things to get through that day, and I remember them getting through them very well. I don't think I made any overtime on that show, so that is a sign of a really well-oiled machine. Even though, you know, I would have welcomed the overtime. Overtime's great. I don't really remember anything specific about Aziz. I remember he was very nice. He was very professional. He was just there doing his job. Period. Yeah. Amy Poehler was very sweet, very fun. She introduced herself to me as soon as I got on set in my ridiculous horse costume. And, she was very nice, and she was a lot of fun to improv with.
Wow, that's awesome. So that's crazy about the Chris Pratt thing. Wow, that's, like, such a good, like,
what
reflection
a great story.
On, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and just, like, how kind, I guess, he was. He wasn't, like, trying to, you know, be the boss or, like, have any sort of ego with it. Like, the way that he described that as far as him, like, not really, you know, caring. But, like, I know what he means because he cared. Bless you.
That's sorry.
You're good. Now, but, yeah.
Does the divorce horse come back at all in the show?
In this episode?
No, in the show at all?
No.
Oh, he doesn't. I had it in my mind that he came back in a later season.
I did too.
But maybe
I
it's
totally
just
thought that.
The end episode, end clip.
It's the tag. Huh. Yeah, it's crazy.
Kind of swore, huh?
But yes, so I have some more things that I'll play from him at the end for the tag scene that he's in. But I'm so appreciative of him doing that for us. And
so cool.
I am playing like every piece that I can because I was just like eating it up. It was awesome.
So cool.
Here it seems like Ron and Tom are having a nice, like, heart-to-heart moment, like, you know, let Leslie bandage your wound, pull the thorn out kind of thing. What?
Yeah, I was just remembering that scene. It's funny.
Did you see that Ron's hair is flatter in the back?
No.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so his hair is flatter / shaved a little bit because he got shot in the back of the head
that's
in Huntington.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
What a great
nice
detail.
Continuity.
Yes, and at first I was like, is that real? And then I was like researching the episode and it was written in quite a few articles that was on
funny.
Purpose. So isn't that crazy?
That is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I also love this whole like it starts a I don't know, I'm sure he's done it before, but Tom calls Ron Rondaliza Rice.
Yes.
I feel like I know he does it throughout the show, but I can't remember what other ones he's done before. But he like takes that on a whirlwind throughout the series, which
yeah.
is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you guys, when do we feel like, because I always figured in Tom's mind, he already loved Wendy before they get divorced.
Uh-huh.
But the way he kind of works it through this episode, I'm like, oh, maybe we've seen all the signs and he hasn't acknowledged it yet.
Mm.
Did you have a time in the episode when you were like, okay, this is when I think he realizes he has feelings for her?
Hmm.
Because I had one the last time I watched, but I wanted to hear if you guys had a different time.
Right.
Is Wendy in episodes before? Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah, like, she's in the Halloween episode. That's like the bigger one, probably, where like him and Tom or her and Tom come in and like save Anne's party.
Yeah, you realize. Yeah,
I don't know.
She comes in a couple times.
Yeah, a couple times. Total. Yeah. Oh yeah, more than that. That was just like the biggest one that I remember her having a part in. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that it was really like clicking that he was like so head over heels in love, but I knew he was into her for sure because like he talked about how much like how awesome she was and she's a hot surgeon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how
she,
but I didn't know. I think that this is when he's realizing he's like just sad and in love, but also I don't know if it's a part of me doesn't even feel like it's in love. It's just I feel like he's just sad that he's losing out on this like opportunity kind of thing, because he didn't really get to ask her out, like, and he didn't really get to talk about any sort of feelings with her. It was more of like, this is just an agreement we had.
Yeah,
well, and think about it too, he's been living with her for like what, 3 years at least, now, right?
It's big.
So that constant companion you have, like, I wonder if he's just lonely.
Yeah. What was the moment that you were talking about?
The moment I feel like we finally see Tom sad about the situation is right after Ron asks if he can date Wendy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That would be that's messed up.
It's like, so messed up.
Yeah, it
come
is.
Come on, Ron.
I, like, even though he knows it was a fake marriage, right? Like, that's it's still like too soon. And I also, the other thing I think about that is like, have you ever been in a situation like that where you're like you're like in your head, you're like, I don't like this person. I don't like this person. And then the second they have a date with someone else or they talk about another person, you're like, oh shit.
Yep.
So maybe that's what it was for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I still think that like, sometimes it's more of just like the grass is always greener kind of situation. Cause like, I've definitely experienced what you're talking about where like, you know, you don't think you like someone and then they'd start dating someone else and you're like, oh man, maybe I did like them. But the other part of it was just like, maybe I missed out. I don't even know if I really like you that much. I just think that I should have tried. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The opportunity is gone.
And I don't know if that's the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you wouldn't have tried if you didn't like them. So it's all in the same realm. Yeah. But that's very interesting of psychology. Psychology of Tom. Mm-hmm. What a whirlwind. A
lot in there.
But Leslie says that she wants to take Tom to see a tandem bicycle documentary. What the heck?
That would be, what
sometimes
a thing.
Sometimes I feel like her and Ross from Friends would, like, be amazing friends or, like, dating. Because they both love documentaries and history and everything.
Her I'm all for a home, good documentary. Like, but this
but
is
on
not
that,
a situation.
No. Her, like, at-home life would be so funny to see what she actually does.
I know!
Like,
so funny. But Tom wants a strip club, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but Clear we don't do factory. That. But then we land on Jurassic Fork, and Jerry says that he's gone to this restaurant 3 times a week.
Yes, for the last however many years.
Like many
and
years,
He's on a government salary. How is that feasible?
What?
Because this is one of those places, like, it's not, like, incredibly cheap, probably.
No, it can't be, because it's kitschy, and it's, like...
it's like a rainforest cafe.
Yeah.
Also...
John says that I am Jerry in this moment.
Yeah, Holly loves a themed restaurant, like... She loves in Nashville. Well, I don't know if you know, there's the you know, the Opryland, whatever.
Yeah,
There's the Rainforest Cafe there in there, and there's the aquarium restaurant, which is like the same thing, but aquarium, and Holly loves it.
I love it.
I had a feeling you would. I had a feeling you would be just like Leslie in this moment and milking every pun you could out of the themes.
I don't know. I don't think the aquarium has any puns and I need it.
Yeah.
But okay, in my defense, not that it needs a defense, whatever, you guys don't care, but all of the walls are literal fish tanks.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's
we went on her birthday one year.
Yeah,
it's great.
We saw a Lion King and then got drinks at the aquarium.
Oh my gosh, do you remember?
So fun.
There's a line, I think, I can't remember, it's in a later episode when they talk about Jurassic Fork again. Do you remember that part?
Maybe. What
they,
is it about?
God, I can't remember what episode, but it's like Jurassic Fork ends up closing because they tried to expand location.
Oh, that's
they're looking for Tom's Bistro.
That's right.
And like it's a load-bearing dinosaur.
Well,
yes, and they can't move it.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And remember, it closes because they tried to expand
to another Steven Spielberg, and it was
and
like
they thought,
List or something.
Yeah, Schindler's List. Lunch. Because the funniest part is like they thought that the kitschy part was the Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Not the Jurassic, not the dinosaur. Yeah, right. Schindler's Lunch.
But even if it was a Spielberg deal, like, why are you going with the most depressing film ever?
Oh my God.
Indiana. Yeah, you could literally go with any of them besides that one.
Indiana Jones. That would have been a great option.
Great one.
Schindler's Lunch.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, you guys, I looked up where this was filmed, and if this is a real moment, location breakdown coming at you right now. Okay, there is an address that fans or someone with a Parks and Rec like moment gave it in Indiana. Like, I was Googling it, and then an Indiana address came up, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Is this real? But it's just because it was like a fan, like fandom situation. So if anyone is interested, there is like a fan one that I did not write down because...
Just the address or an actual place?
Well, so... I'm just saying, like, on the fan thing, like, they made up an address in Pawnee. And I was confused because I was like, if that's real, I'll,
go
there immediately. But it kind of is real, so let me break it down. So, the real location is at this place called Clifton's Cafeteria in Los Angeles. It's in downtown, and it's at 648 South Broadway. You guys look it up because the screen grab of the front is like this really cute little like old building situation, but it's on Broadway and 7th in downtown, near Pershing Square. If anyone is familiar with LA downtown, that is where it is. It's founded in 1931 by Clifford Clinton, which is, you know, Clifton's Cafeteria. Clifford Clinton. Clifton. Okay, got it. Sorry. So that's really weird. They combined Clifford and Clinton, I guess. I didn't even catch that until I was reading it out loud.
Wow.
Anyway, the design of the restaurants included exotic decor and facades that were kitschy and theatrical and would eventually include multi-story fake redwood trees, stuffed lions, neon plants, and a petrified wood bar.
So a lot of that stuff was already there, and they just brought dinosaurs in.
Yes. Cool. I will show you a picture.
Because I was thinking that would be a lot to like...
Add in.
I was like, did they go to a Rainforest Cafe or something?
Right.
Like,
all the dinosaurs are added in. But Maddie, I'll send you this picture. But
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's crazy.
Still open?
I'm going to send it to you. No, so that's the sad part, where they had multiple locations. And I think that might have been their downfall, which is like kind of wild because that is similar to, Schindler's Lunch, but anyway, so some considered Clifton's as a precursor to the first tiki bars because of the tiki bar moment that it had in there, but it closed a bunch of times and was reopened in 2015, but then it closed for a final time and it was replaced by a high-end bar called Clifton's Republic in 2018. So I believe the bar is still open if you would like to do that. They knew where the money was, the alcohol. But it was the largest public cafeteria, though, I think, in the United States. So I don't think it was in the world. But anyway, and it's really precious because I went on Google Maps and had like a serious nostalgia moment, you guys, because it was like about a mile from where I used to do my catering job in downtown. And so like I roamed around. I found like the little Tokyo library that I used to go and like read before my shift started, and like the hotel that I would like walk by as I was taking my book. Oh my God. It was like such a moment. But it was super precious. And like, it's a little, little Tokyo is like in the area. So there's like a bunch of shops with like Asian like souvenirs and cool little things. I really liked it. So, and a bunch of like ramen shops and stuff, obviously. But I don't know if that's like, is that a Tokyo thing? Am I dumb? Ramen? That's Vietnamese, right? Or does it matter? Is it everywhere? Oh God.
I think
that's so hard to really tell for me because I don't like ramen.
Oh, I love ramen. Oh my gosh.
I think ramen specific. Right?
Everyone thinks I'm weird.
No, I mean, I don't think you're weird. You like what you like. I just love it. Say you. But anyway, Sean's looking up if it's specific to a certain
Japan.
Country. Japan. So Tokyo. Right. Okay, great.
Good. Nice.
Okay, good. So that is Clifton's Cafeteria.
Nice.
And Maddie, I texted you the picture of it. And it's like super precious. And if anyone wants to go to the bar in LA when we go, I think it'd be really cute.
When we go.
I'm actually going tomorrow.
Are you really?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
It's in LA. No.
So are they in Jurassic? Are we in the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. This restaurant does look really fun. There's like so much to do in this restaurant. Do you mm-hmm. notice how they always, they're like getting up a lot from yes. the table? Uh-huh. Like Tom and Leslie have a little oh. moment. They go play pool. Yeah. Like there's like, they're not just like yeah. sitting down. And
I
like,
noticed that too. Like there's like that little loungy area yeah. where Ron and Tom are having a moment and then Leslie comes over where Ron was sitting. Yeah.
And they're there for like a while. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, yeah, this is like a night.
I was wondering about that too. Like, how do you naturally get up from the table like that and go have a side moment with someone else?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's like they're going to the bathroom and then they stop at the bar or something on the way back. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I will say I went back and I made sure everyone changed. So nobody was wearing the same stuff at work as they were at. Which I honestly, no offense to the costume designer person, saw that as a missed opportunity.
Really?
Because I feel like there are a couple people that would have not changed. Mm. Like, how does Andy have enough clothes
to change for a dinner? That's true.
Is he, you know? So he's wearing a different shirt too?
He's wearing a different shirt as well.
He probably just put a flannel over his t-shirt.
He could have, you know, and I honestly looked for that, but the other shirt he had was a long sleeve and like a high, and I honestly, the other person I thought that wouldn't change would be Ron.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he cares enough to look nice for dinner as long as he's getting meat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Obviously, I expect Donna and Leslie to change, Tom to change. They changed.
Yeah.
The one person I couldn't really tell was April because her outfit looks almost the same, but she's always wearing black anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. Really tell very well. Because especially I would think like that almost feels like a dinner where you just like have to go to. So I would imagine like they would just go right from work. Like, if you went home first, you're not going back out. Like, right. To go to Jurassic Fork.
I'm the same.
Hashtag me.
I will not. I will not. No. How especially funny. If it's with work people. I'm like, can we just mm-hmm. go straight there? Yeah. I mean, I've done it before because you got to do it.
You got to do it.
But I would prefer to go directly after work. Because mm-hmm. I'm trying to go to bed. You
know? Yeah, I feel that.
I like that April's wearing a dinosaur hat. That's
oh my
very
gosh, your little dinosaur hat.
Dinosaur hat. This poor waiter has to wear a dinosaur outfit or like caveman outfit or whatever. This guy's name is Evan O'Brien, and he's been in a few things, actually, including General Hospital and a few other things that I wasn't super familiar with. So I'm sorry that I didn't write it down. But I loved his performance, thought it was super funny. I like that he did that thing of like he definitely played it more of like a truth, like straight face situation.
Like, I don't want to be here.
Right? Yeah, like, no, very much so.
Do you see what I'm wearing? And
oh my god,
put up with these puns. And oh my god, I love when he's giving his little speech and like Jerry knows it and he's like mouthing along and he just loves it. I wonder
the only
if
thing that's extinct will be your appetite.
I wonder if the whole family goes when they go, like I does bet. His wife go mm-hmm. like
maybe he goes like by himself twice a week and like someone else goes. Like
I wonder if he goes for lunch more. Like see
maybe what is he for lunch.
That's a running theme I feel like for Jerry, right? His kids do very, very kid things for all their life. So he probably took them there when they were little. And then as women, they're still doing kid type things with him.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
He just keeps those traditions.
Medium roar. Love that.
Medium roar.
No, yes. Medium roar.
I knew you would. I wrote it down that I could see you saying that. And I love that he says he can't take it like that
legally,
now anymore.
We can't.
Right, anymore.
We can't make
for legal reasons.
Yeah. The meat temperature.
I hate splitting the bill evenly, and I've never done it before.
Yes.
That
is not a thing anymore. I feel like, well, do you remember, like, in Boston, mm-hmm. a lot of places wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do, like, the separate. So sometimes we would do it in Boston, and it was always shitty.
But
now you have Venmo and everything that it's like easier.
We would do, sometimes what we would do, I think Holly, you and I did this once for a women's group thing, is we got the receipt. And we wrote the card, the last four of the card number and how much money.
And that was so
dumb.
So stupid. It was like, and I don't know why. Maybe their systems couldn't do it. But that is the worst. If you ever go and we're splitting it. Oh my God.
And like, I mean, I've worked as a waiter even in those times and you can do it. It just, I don't think it was accepted.
Yeah.
And maybe there were some, maybe I'll
it's
give
like,
it like 5% benefit of the doubt.
I will say there are still certain places like New York will not do that. Like there's certain, like last time I was in New York, I mentioned it and like the guy I was with was like, what are you talking about? Like, we do not do that here. And the waiter would not do it. It was one card or split down the middle. And like, they would not, it was like, they were almost offended. Mm. So I know, it is a Northeast thing.
I did it in New York recently. Well, recently, like before COVID, but I mean.
Yeah, maybe it's at like, I mean, it was kind of a fancier place. Restaurant? Yeah. And it was in Soho. I don't know. But yeah, it was like offended. Silly. And they were very much like, we do not do that here. Like, fuck you. Like,
right.
I'm not paying for whatever the bullshit you have.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the waiter sometimes will ask, like, all one
bill.
Oh,
yeah, all one bill. These two, yeah.
Totally acceptable.
I try
now.
To tell them
crazy.
Before we all order. Like, if I know we're going to separate
it. Just makes it easier.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, it's going to be us and them. Because I know, because when I was a waitress, this POS system sucked ass at trying to split it up after. So just being able to put it on separate tickets at
before.
The beginning. Was much better.
Yeah, maybe that's why people said that they couldn't do it because they're just like, I don't want to deal with this bullshit.
I don't know.
Also, but Anne is also definitely like rebelling in this moment because, like, also she's getting a Caesar salad at this place. Like, that's not what you get at this place.
Right.
Like, you
what's the pun?
Tyrannus
Caesar salad.
The salad, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the pork, the
Velociraptor wrap.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, I can't remember. Leslie got pork chops, but it's something chops. But anyways, that is so funny. Tricera chops.
Yes. So good.
So good.
I want to see the whole menu.
Oh, I know.
Me too.
It'd be so good.
I've done the splitting the bill thing if it's like two people and we got similar things.
Yeah.
That
you
makes
both
sense.
Got a cocktail.
But for this like large of a group, absolutely not.
Well, the amount of bottles of wine, too.
Oh, my God. And he was going to, he ordered two creme brulees just for him. Oh. Yeah. Have a few
Agreed
bottle of wine.
I literally wrote down here that this was a situation where Holly and I are both Anne. I just knew right away.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
This is where we're both Anne, is this situation.
I think so many people are. I have this deleted scene also of, in case anyone was wondering if Anne eventually did pay or how that all worked out.
Because
Leslie is all like,
cause she's
just
like,
enjoy
we'll just
yourself. We'll just, the restaurant will split it.
Excuse me, were you at the large party?
Oh, God, no.
You guys were $48 short. That would come out of my paycheck.
Can I just give you, like, 20 and the rest comes out of your paycheck? Or do you, is that okay?
She just runs away.
She runs away.
Oh, and that poor guy. That's why he hates his life.
Right. Literally, I bet that happens all the time.
Oh, my God.
That sucks.
That's funny. 48. So, yeah, she would be paying $48 for salad and probably water.
Right. Absolutely not. No. Hate it. And you know what? That was a thing in TV shows. That is a scene in Friends, believe it or not.
Really?
Just remembering
this
because.
The splitting the check thing?
Yeah, because Ross, Chandler, and Monica all make good money, and Phoebe, Joey, and Rachel do not. And so they all order, like, shitty stuff, like a side salad and, like, a tiny little soup and pizza. Like, that's one little slice. And then at the end, they all end up – or they all want to pay, like, $40. And then they get in a fight about, like, who makes money and stuff. So, I guess that was a thing back in the 2000s,
it's just like,
90s situation.
Now you don't even –
Yeah,
it must be the technology. And now, like, even if there is a place, you just Venmo people and it's just, you know.
I have also this one other deleted scene. I'm so sorry. But it's just too
How
good.
How dare you?
It's about Jerry. Oh. And so he said, okay, I'm just going to play it.
They have got a life-size dinosaur egg that you can get in and have your picture taken. I do it every time I come here because I am making a flip book of me hatching. Hey, April, I am going to go get an egg, and I was wondering if you would come and take my picture.
Sure, I'll be right down after he's done with his cake.
Oh, cool, thank you.
That is so funny, because I was going to say, there is a moment where somebody is standing in front of something, and there's a sign that says, like, you have to be this tall to enter the egg. And I was wondering what that was.
I didn't see that.
It's behind the table. Oh, that is so funny.
Yeah, he's making a flip book of him hatching.
Him hatching. I want to see that flip book.
That's
amazing.
Oh,
my God. Me too.
Do you see the egg in that scene?
No, you don't see it.
It's a giant egg.
I also love all these sound effects and like roars going on in the back.
Yeah. It's like Rainforest Cafe. You know, like every 30 minutes, there's like a...
Oh, you're right,
we need to go to Rainforest Cafe.
We do. Maddie, come here.
Treat yourself.
We're going.
You need to come for a treat yourself.
I know. Oh, yeah. I do. I really do.
So good.
I'm excited. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We got to figure it out because I want to do a Christmas one, but I'm sure we'll do one again in April for Sean's birthday.
Christmas tree. That'll be the next one.
Yep. Come on down, Maddie.
We'll plan it when you're here. I mean,
but also, you could do it whenever.
When you get here this weekend.
I know, but you mean plan it like you're going around Christmas time?
We'll plan when I'll come and go to Rainforest Cafe.
I understand. I understand.
You're going to Arizona?
Yes, so I'm going.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. On Friday, I'm going.
You asked me what I was doing this weekend.
Yeah, but I'm coming back Sunday. So I'm coming back Saturday night. So
gotcha.
We have Sunday.
Get planned.
Everyone who's listening.
Think you're better than us.
No, okay. I was telling Sean that we should have a pizza night because he got a pizza oven, which is a whole other thing.
Nice.
And I haven't been here for one, but he's had many a pizza night because I haven't been here, and that's okay. But no, on Friday, Maddie is going dress shopping.
Oh,
wedding dress shopping.
Fun. Are you excited?
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. We looked at venues yesterday, and so my heart is just so excited.
God. It's such a fun part.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very
excited. Actually seeing where it's going to happen, I feel like, is one of the tangible things that you can do. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh my god! I bought these like cute ass little. They came in, Maddie. I bought these cute ass glasses. Oh my god, Sean!
Do you trust them to travel?
Yes.
Okay.
Aww.
And so mother cute. Of the bride for
my mama
for Maddie's mom.
That's so exciting! Did you decide on a place or
what?
Did you decide on a venue?
We're like 98% sure.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's beautiful. I even already have my thing set up. Because we're pretty sure we know what day now and everything. 370
days.
Oh,
wow. So you're like set on September 17th?
That's the earliest they... That's the latest they have next year until it gets to like Thanksgiving weekend. Because peak season here is October, November, December, January. Because it's not balls hot.
As hot, yeah.
So September wedding will get us out of monsoon season so that my outdoor wedding will not be rained out. But it will also like 5 or 6 here. It's in the 80s, 90s. It's not like you're dying from heat.
Yeah.
So
is the 17th? What day is that? A Saturday or Sunday?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Duh!
Yeah.
Okay.
So
exciting.
Anyway.
I can't wait to try on dresses. That's I'm gonna try one on too.
Why not?
No, you have to though. You have to help me pick out the like. I think all the bridal places have swatches for bridesmaids' dresses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're talking about that, too. We got to do that, too. Yeah. Yay. Okay, cool.
Tangent. All right.
Well, now we're at love the tangent, though. Needed. So now we're at where Andy is challenging Mark to a pool game. I do kind of think this is a badass burn on Andy's part. Like, he's a failed architect.
Oh my God.
I thought he'd...
Yes.
Well, it's funny how that...
like, with angles.
Well, and Anne's like,
but
really?
That's what gets to him. Yeah. I know.
Exactly. He knew how to get him. Also, what a strange moment to have everyone go around and say what they like most about Tom. Can you imagine that?
I like your body.
Jerry likes his body.
Can
so
you imagine?
Donna.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Jerry with Tom's body?
Oh my god. Absolutely not.
Can you imagine in like a work, like whoever the Jerry is of like your work saying that to you? That'd be so weird.
That is so weird.
Donna wants to put him in a cape.
Yes.
Fly around.
Why is everything staying so weird?
I know, but it's like weirdly not that weird when Donna says it, but when Jerry says it, obviously, it's like, ew.
April's reaction.
Like tied up.
Oh my gosh.
So
oh my
funny.
God. And Anne has think this it's... wonderful look to camera. Oh, sorry, Matt,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's also really weird how Mark gets up, like they're in the middle of eating,
mm-hmm.
and Andy's like, let's play pool. It's like, can I finish my meal first?
Everybody's going places.
I know, exactly. But no, he gets him,
yeah.
Like we talked about. That cut deep, so he's like, all right, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
Same thing. I had in my notes that like this is when the table bar lounge situation is happening.
Yeah, they're just moving around.
But
are they even eating their food yet?
Tom's drinking. And yes, they have gotten their food.
Yeah.
And now Tom has a drink at this little lounge area. There's also a shot. I took a picture of it and I'll post it in the stories. But like the framing is hilarious because the dinosaur literally takes up like three thirds of it. And Ron and Tom are like in this tiny little box square on the side. It's so funny. I'll post it. But yeah, I feel like this is a sucky move on Ron's part. Yeah. And to say that, like, she's the perfect spooning size.
Yeah, that's yikes. Gross.
That's too descriptive.
It's also really
don't say that about
insensitive how he starts the conversation. I don't know if you notice, like, that his tone of voice, it's very therapist, but, like, sarcastic. Mm. And it's like, so, Tom, how are you feeling? And it's just, like, I feel like it's really insensitive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I was like, well, I wonder if, like, Ron knew, would he do that?
Probably
like,
not. I think he's saying that because he doesn't know, right? Exactly. He's just like, it's all on.
But I still think it's not cool.
It's not cool. No.
But at the same time, like, at least Ron asked, I guess. I don't know, question mark. But I guess, like, isn't that...
I'm so surprised Ron goes to this event.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
But it's like, isn't that bro code 101? Like, you know?
Are they bros?
No, I guess they're not. But like bros, just in the sense that they're both man.
Then they ain't yo hoes.
I would have at least waited.
That she ain't yo ho, no mo.
I would have at least waited though, so it wasn't the day of the divorce.
Oh, it's so bad. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So bad.
Tom has like such dead eyes. It's so sad.
Yeah,
like,
he's not doing well.
He was actually, Aziz Ansari was actually quoted as saying, it was really fun because there was some serious acting for me to do compared to my usual dick jokes. Mm. Which I think that was a really nice opportunity. If you look at the like scope, when like when John Paul said like Aziz was kind of just there like doing his job, like that's I think why, because he wasn't a jokey Tom in this one, you know? Yeah. So
that's interesting.
Andy says he tackled Eddie Vedder, which...
Yes.
Okay, this is stupid, but I had to Google who that was because I'm not a Pearl Jam person. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Honey. I thought it was going to be a football person because I talked about tackling.
It's okay. We learned. This is a podcast of learning.
That's true. This is why I research, but I can totally see Andy doing that, tackling Eddie Vedder.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, my God.
100%.
But yeah, so now Mark bets on Anne, and if Mark wins, Andy has to stop bugging them. And April's like, can someone punch someone already?
This is my favorite because this is, and I don't know if I should be saying this, but this is exactly Ivan's demeanor when we were having that graduation party for my brother, and my dad and my stepdad were coming. And he like literally walked out of the dinner, and Ivan goes, why did nobody punch anybody? It's like, dude, that like, been... let's not... Terrible. Let's not push it. But
that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
Funny joke, but not in real life.
Right. But I just, this whole situation to me, like, regardless, Mark, of whether or not you were going to give Anne up, like, it was still brought up and you still let it slide. He didn't say anything like, she's not ownership. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I would have at least expected someone to say, like, no, you can't own her. She's going to make her own decision. You know.
Right. Which I totally get what you're saying. I also feel though that like they've reached a point now where it's like
he's so frustrated.
Anything to Andy. This is such a joke now, like that I'm not gonna say anything.
Also
you know?
Makes for good TV.
Yeah, totally. And it is kind of a boring match. Like, if you
it's not like
it's not neck and neck. Mark is clearly winning in all of it.
And I just love how like he's hustling him and just clearly doesn't know what hustling really is.
Right.
Like he doesn't like realize halfway through that he actually needs to know how to play pool.
Absolutely. Oh my God, so dumb. Leslie is talking about all the different things to make Tom happy and like what can I give you? And she says a cheese fountain, a goose heart. What is that? What, where is she coming? I wonder if that was improvised. Like, oh, so
a
nuts.
Goose heart.
But this is also the first time we learn is that Tom is a club promoter or aspiring club promoter.
That
like little
so
entrepreneur
funny.
Moment.
Yeah.
And this is where we learn of the infamous glitter factory.
The glitter factory.
Oh my God. Donna can't go to the glitter factory because she says if we see Jasmine, she can keep Anthony, but she wants the microwave back.
Oh, I want to see a whole Donna.
Okay.
I want to see Parks and Rec through Donna's eyes.
Yeah.
Can we talk about, though, and spoiler, so skip ahead 15 seconds if you're not a fan of the show that has watched it all, but can we talk about how when Donna gets married that
her brother Anthony
Questlove is Anthony bringing back the microwave and smashes the microwave at the fucking wedding.
Yes, Holly.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Oh,
callback.
Man. I never put that together. That's awesome.
Yep.
I didn't draw
so
that line.
So Anthony is her brother.
One blip of that line. And now it's like just...
Damn.
So A stripper dated her brother and stole her microwave.
Yeah, and his line in that ending thing was, now nobody gets any popcorn. So they must have had some sort of popcorn moment.
This is the popcorn episode.
Yeah. Wait, what's the other popcorn?
At the beginning, the opening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When it burns your throat and the guy with the popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
Got it. Oh, my God. So dumb that I didn't know that. But anyways, that blew my mind when she said that line because I had never put that together.
That's nuts.
I was like, wow. April wants to go to the glitter factory, and Leslie says, drop out of school and start doing meth.
The equivalent.
Such a good line.
Oh, my God.
And I love April's look in that moment. She's just like,
all right, kay. Maybe I will.
Maybe yeah, I will.
Exactly. There was a deleted scene, I feel, of the glitter factory. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Besides, don't you like that other club, Talent and Poise?
The only reason I want to go to the Glitter Factory is because I have 200 Glitter Bucks, which expire next week. Glitter Bucks are worth about $1.50 on the dollar. It's a stronger currency than the dollar, technically. It's on par with the euro, as long as you're inside the Glitter Factory.
Why? What are you going to get with the Glitter Bucks?
That is so funny. Wait, what's the, does it happen again? Oh, no, it's New Girl. Shoot, where Winston goes to the strip club and then buys like $1,000 of whatever the strip club dollars, mm-hmm. And then he can't spend it other than in the
and you can't refund it back.
You can't.
So he's trying to buy them. He has all this merch now and everything. Yeah,
and that's when he's like hiding that he's sad or whatever, right? Because he like had broken up with what's her name?
Oh, with Coach. Yeah. They bring Coach there to or something.
That's why they all show up to the police precinct in stripper gear.
That's right. In stripper. Yeah.
Right. Oh my God. Crazy.
That's funny though.
Or like a shroot buck.
Yes. Or a Stanley Nickel.
How many Stanley Nickels?
Stanley Nickel. Oh my God. I did find a place on Facebook called the Glitter Factory, but it's like a production company or something for like a place for people to film their projects. There's like artwork and stuff on the Facebook. They haven't posted in a long time, but the profile picture is of the Glitter Factory that they show the sign in Parks and Rec. So I think that they got the picture from Parks and Rec. I have to imagine that because I just don't see it anywhere else.
That's also...
I
wonder if there is a strip club named the Glitter Factory, because that is a great name for a strip club.
I know. That is a great name.
I tried to look up where it was filmed, and I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. I found a t-shirt on Amazon that says Glitter Factory, Pawnee, Indiana.
Nice.
And I'll be posting that in the
maybe
stories
for your
as
birthday.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
The strippers, her stripper name would be Equality, says
yes.
Leslie.
Amazing.
Love that.
I love when she says that, and then she talks about the... Or, oh, well, it's a feminist act or whatever. And then she goes in and she's like just so appalled. Like
That is a true statement that so a lot funny. Of like feminist, like hardcore feminist scholars are like stripping is the highest form of, you know, feminist acts because you're doing what you want with your body kind of thing.
Yeah. But I feel it's the same thing. And then you go to one of those places and you're like.
Her face and her reaction is priceless. It's so perfect. It's just so terrified. And it's like, I don't know.
She's
I feel like it's like going to a strip club with your mom or like,
Can you imagine
she's standing
with all your coworkers? Yeah.
So close to him. The stripper also works at Quiznos.
She's really nice to me here, but she's really mean to me at Quiznos.
This is, really. Oh my gosh. And, Ron's line is one of my favorite though. Everybody's running a low grade fever.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's good.
You're one of the good ones, Ron.
Why is Ron there?
Why are and like the fact that they're all there with their coworkers? Are they all there?
No, it's just
Andy?
Ron, Tom,
and Leslie.
Oh,
Leslie,
yeah.
Because
Leslie.
They're all in the pool match.
Yeah.
And April can't go.
Jerry
Donna
would
can't
never go.
Go. Jerry's having fun in his egg hatch.
Jerry's probably having relations with his hot wife.
They had relations.
Relations.
Putting dollar bills in places she's never heard of. Because Leslie says that line of like, put it in somewhere that I would disapprove of. And he's like, I'm going to put these in places you've never even heard of. And I'm like, gross.
Can we also say that's gross because she's a woman and she should know how to call the things, all the things of her body?
Yeah, and that's the joke, I feel, is that Tom doesn't know what they are either, probably.
Yeah.
It's just
He just, yeah.
Yeah. But Ron is so happy when he finds this breakfast buffet.
Ugh.
What? His smile.
What stripper club has a breakfast buffet? But you know what? That's actually, I think, a real thing.
I think it is a real thing. Because like they talk about it in a lot.
Have I seen it on a sign?
Well, yeah. Why would you? I would never think I would go to a strip club and eat.
No.
Something. It's just not the place I would eat.
That's got to be food poisoning waiting to happen.
I've never been to a strip club.
But I love his little dance.
Have you been to a strip club?
Yeah, I have. Have you been to one, Maddie?
Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, did any, did you guys eat?
No.
Did you eat?
Did I what?
Did you eat?
No.
Did you have food? What a weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you go back, Maddie?
Yeah, tell us a story.
I've been twice.
Okay, to the same one? Different one?
No, different ones. okay. In both times in Vegas, because the only time I do anything I have crazy is in Vegas.
I was going to say, yes, you have. Yeah, I was about to say. Point.
Actually, I bet there are a few. Oh, shoot. I totally blacked out. Anyhow.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, my sister, if you're listening to this. She doesn't.
It's all right. That.
She's, I wonder if she's been to a strip club. Anyhow, you tell your story.
Super stories.
Yeah, no, I like it because it's a cool vibe, I guess. I don't know.
I guess it depends on which one you go to. If it's one like right next to a truck stop or something, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
One's on the side of the road.
I will say in my female
Vegas is the place to do it.
Sorry, what'd you say, Sean?
Vegas is the place to do it. Those places are so
Vegas
nice.
Is definitely the place to do it. I see, and that's what I was thinking when I was watching this. Is like Pawnee probably has to have such a small talent pool, you know, whereas Vegas, people go there to strip. So you've got like,
it's like the Mecca.
I don't know. This is the thought process I have going into a strip club. Might be weird. But I, as Holly knows, have issues with the way I see my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing women that have such confidence in how their bodies move and everything, I actually have a lot of respect for it. I know that sounds really weird. I would never go to a strip club on a regular Friday night. I would never go there for funsies all the time. But like once I've been twice out of like 12 times I've gone to Vegas. And I mean, the one thing I will say is I've gone with my now fiance and he does not let me leave him. Because I did once to go to the bathroom and a stripper came up to him and he's like, I have a girlfriend. And she's like, I don't see her here. And so I came out of the bathroom and he's like, that one. That was. And so I found out a little bit about my fiance like during that. And then the last time we went, they're like all these naked women around. And I'm like, you're not looking at anything. And he goes, no, I'm okay. And he just like was looking at me. I was like, this is very nice.
Why do you go to a strip club then?
I don't know.
Sorry, that was so like weird. I'm just curious.
No, that's true.
Like, why were you? What was the story of you going?
Was it more for you? You want?
Yeah. No, were there naked men?
Honestly, or I women? Think we showed up.
Or women?
We showed up.
But
in,
I just know Maddie's straight.
It's just women in the one we went to. Okay. But we went, and we got to Vegas. We were there for two nights only because we were going to see John Mulaney with my dad. And so we went the night before.
This is the most recent one, then.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And so that's what I'm saying.
That was literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this is like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you went.
But anyway, yes, we went. And it's because we got to Vegas at like 9 or 10 at night. There's not a lot to do shows-wise or anything like that past 10. Like the last show starts at like 10. And we're like, every time we're here, we get drinks and we just walk.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's do something different. And so he found like this really good package where they come pick you up and it was like a couple's deal. And we're like, let's just go see what it's about.
Interesting.
We didn't stay very long. We stayed. Yeah. We stayed. That's... We drank all of our drink money because with the tickets, you got this much money in drinks. We drank all our drink money and left.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Like shows are probably a thing like more so in Vegas there.
Yeah, they're probably more showy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are more showy. Like they...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
No.
Fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways.
No one else?
What? Oh, about the stripper stories?
I'm going to be the only one. I went to one in Boston. It's so awkward.
You know, I went to one in Boston and then I went to one in, I have a couple in Vegas.
Where's the ones in Boston?
There's one downtown, like
the financial district?
Yeah. But like not to the north end, but like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who'd you go with? Do you remember? All right, can
a
you
girl.
Say? A girl?
Yeah.
What was the story? story.
No, I think it was just a or date. Like, I think it was like
you went on a date at the strip club.
No, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I was with a group of people. I'm sure we talked about this.
No, we didn't, Sean. You don't tell me about the sexual part of your encounters in college, okay?
Oh, wow.
We do now. But no.
It was after a concert.
And you just after was like, Sarah hey, there's concert, a sling strip.
I think.
After a Sarah Bareilles concert,
yeah.
You went to a strip club.
God, there was no judgment when she was telling the story.
There was, though. Did you hear my tone when I said, then why do you go to a strip club? I didn't mean but to, it wasn't, but it happened, and I'm sorry.
Anyhow.
Sorry.
So you tell us about your club experience, and then let us judge you.
Sean, I didn't mean to. I'm just curious as to how someone goes on a
No, it wasn't a date. I think I was with a group of people, and then it was like just ended up being there, and I didn't date her for very long.
So
it wasn't really a dating.
So you went on a date.
We didn't date.
Or a date-ish talking thing, and then you met up with people at the strip club? That would make sense to me.
No, we were all at the concert, and then we all migrated there. We went to a couple of bars, and then...
So it was like a group...
It was a group moment. Thing, yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm not super into the group. I can see going with, like, your partner.
Uh-huh.
But a group thing's weird. Especially, like, a group of all guys doing it. There's just something weird. Like, I don't want to... Can you imagine, like, my guy friends in Nashville who just went to a strip club? And it's a very odd... I don't know. I don't get that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just like not the being there, but
going with them.
What do you talk about?
I don't talk.
I don't have those. You don't talk. I don't know. But a lot of guys have those types of conversations.
So
I don't
know. Someone, if like they had broken up with someone or like like Tom is doing now, I would do that.
I'll say I would when we went this last time, it looked like a bachelor party like next to us. And I was kind of watching them and it's really awkward because the girls like they kind of walk up to you. And they all were walking up to one dude in the group. And I don't think it was even the guy getting married. It was just
the
best looking guy.
The hottest guy.
Yeah. And so none of the other guys were getting lap dances. It's just this one guy. And I was like, that sucks. That's awkward. Hilarious.
Yeah. Super awkward.
That is.
Oh, my God. No, my experience was in Greece, actually.
Oh, nice.
It was like.
Think you're better than us?
Think you're better than us. It was during my study abroad moment. And I don't really know. I think it was just like the group of us that went. It was like. You know, on the trip, I think there was only six or seven like people. And I don't remember. I think we were out in the same kind of situation where we were just like, do you want to try this thing? And I was like, okay. And it was really funny because they did have a show there. It was really interesting and not like cute. But I guess if it was like if you were a dude or like. A girl wanting to get turned on, you would have been, but I was just like, okay, all right. And it was really interesting to watch the guys in our group watch it. It was so wild. Which like I get, whatever. But then they were also like pulling people on stage and I went on stage. I didn't take off my clothes or anything, but I did go on stage and like dance around and that was fun. And then, like, the girls started trying to take off my clothes. And all of the girls from my group were like, no! Oh, my God! And so, yeah, I just ran off stage. And that was – but it was like a – you know, it was a – one of our – my acting teachers in Berkeley actually was like – you for that same reason, Maddie, was like, you know, you should go to a strip club not for, you know, sexual moments. I mean, maybe if you want to. But, like, also to see, like, how a body is just a body. You know what I mean? And carefreeness.
I think that's the beautiful thing because I think the way it's portrayed in our media is that it's only these stick, skinny girls with big boobs that go and that work in strip clubs. But every woman there was a different shape and size everywhere.
Loved
and
that.
I loved that. Like, I mean, I wasn't sitting there like getting turned on by all these like different size, But like, I was like, this is cool. No one's being held to, you have to lose this much weight. You have to look exactly like this. Like,
yeah, and that's,
you know, because everybody has a everybody has a preference. And it's like, you know, I really liked that too. And I'm not, it's not my, like, it's not my thing. It's not like, let's do this all the time. But like, you know, I think it is a good reminder for me that it doesn't, you know,
to have that's how it was in Greece too,
matter.
Where it was like,
yeah,
exactly. It's like full figured. You know what? Another thing that you could do is go to like one of those naked spas, like in Big Mouth, if anyone watches that.
Oh,
show.
Yeah. Like with a Korean bathhouse.
Yeah.
Tone and Sarah just said that.
Oh, yeah. They did talk about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, that was a fun tangent.
Anyhow.
So I do love that. Wait, do you guys have anything else to say about the strippers?
No.
Okay. I love that Ron is flipping pancakes and like dancing around. I really love how excited he is.
When the glitter bomb goes off and he like, is just like, that's so shielding. Good.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, Andy still thinks this bet is real and that he somehow owns Anne legally. Yeah. I also took a picture. There are 9 beers on the table that Andy accidentally hits because he's like thinking he won. And because I was like, this table's so full. And so I counted them. But I was imagining that they're all his, but I'm sure some of them were Mark's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have been his. And he looks so sweaty. He always looks so sweaty.
He is so sweaty.
I wonder if that's just Chris Pratt or they try to do that for Andy.
Oh, yeah. I wonder.
I feel like it's Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt pre Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. But so now I'm actually at where Leslie is buying Tom a lap dance. And fun little moment. Go ahead.
I have a thought. I'm so sorry. So I turned say the page because I caught up and then I was like, I forgot to say this. When Andy's like basically thinks he owns Anne now, I wonder if they pulled this from The Bachelor. Sean, do you watch The Bachelor with Sierra?
I've seen it, but they definitely did.
Yeah, where they say
the little movement, you can say your goodbyes. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
If you did not get a rose, say your goodbyes.
Say your goodbyes.
Yep. Oh, I totally didn't even catch that.
Take your minute. Yeah. And then he like backed up and he does the little Chris, like whatever his name is, like little pose.
He does, truly. And I definitely noted that because he did a whole little bow with him.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I love that. Now we're at Seabiscuit.
Oh my God.
Sierra. It's so loud
Sierra.
In here.
I mean, Seabiscuit.
Sierra. I think that it's so funny. Her name is Sierra, but this Sierra.
My wife's name is Sierra, if anybody. Yeah. It's, so it's fine. She has a stripper name. But it's with an S.
No, well, I was going to say it's a stripper spelling. Yeah. But really grind the sorrow out of him.
Gross.
Oh my also, God. I love that Leslie is watching this alleged lap dance.
She's so close.
Yeah.
She's so
and I
close.
Oh, so close. Is it because you have a strong female figure watching you? I also liked I'm going to say that I liked Sierra's lingerie, the little checker moment.
Yeah.
I thought it was really precious.
Yeah.
I'd buy that. Okay. The other thing that I have to say, which I'm super stoked about, little surprise for you guys because I didn't tell either of you, but the actor that plays this stripper, her name is Cheryl Teixeira, and we actually worked at the same acting class. Cheryl Teixeira.
Her last name is Teixeira.
Oh,
that's so funny.
T E X I E R A.
Oh, Teixeira. Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
Do you think it was like text Sierra?
Yeah. Almost? Yeah. It's like, that's weird.
No, yeah. But
that's
we
worked
in the same acting studio in LA.
That's cool.
And I didn't have a lot of interactions with her, but everything that we did, she was a teacher there, as was I. And I did the showcase program, and she was like our scene study actor. And at the time, she was still working on Girl Meets World, which is the spinoff of Boy Meets World. She plays Sean's love interest.
Oh, okay.
The mom of the like best friend to Corey and Topanga's daughter.
Yeah.
But I emailed her.
Nice.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Cheryl. Because I remember I always wanted to say something, but I totally forgot. And I think I don't even know if I was working there at the time that I like really, truly remembered like, oh my God, that's Cheryl. It's nuts. But so anyways, she also has been on Always Sunny, The Conners. She's also just an excellent teacher and producer. She has her own little company. She does a lot of her own work. You should follow her on Instagram. We'll post her Instagram on the show notes. She does a ton of fun like self-tape videos and things like that. But so I emailed her and I was just like asking her about like memories and like what kind of things she had to say. And I'm going to read this email to you guys because it was just so sweet and precious. She says, congrats on the podcast. How fun! ! Parks and Rec was my first professional gig, so it definitely holds a special place in my heart, which I had no idea.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
That is very cool.
I asked her what it was like to like work with all the people on set. And she said, Amy Poehler was so kind, all caps, so kind and hilarious. She improvised a ton while we were filming and I was tongue tied as to whether to play alongside her or just stick to my lines. Aziz was in the zone as it was a more dramatic episode for him, which makes sense as we kind of talked about. The director, I think, in parentheses, thought I was a professional stripper.
That's amazing.
And Nick Offerman, who I only met for 2 seconds in the trailer, was so kind, all caps, that to this day, I hope I make everyone feel as welcome as he made me feel on set. And wow. She put a little emoji heart. Such a special memory. Thanks for letting me walk down memory lane. Best of luck with the show.
Nice.
That's awesome. Did she have a lot of lines?
No, she didn't.
Did she speak at all?
Yeah, she does. Go ahead, Maddie.
She corrects Seabiscuit and calls says right. Sierra.
Yeah.
And then basically when Leslie is saying, like, unless I can get a refund, she's like, no.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that was improv. Like, I wonder if Seabiscuit was in the...
I know. I wonder that too. But yeah, that's really funny to hear that Leslie or Amy Poehler was just like, yeah. You know, saying a bunch of shit. And she was like, I think Cheryl played it so great.
Oh, yeah. She played it like, what the hell?
Just so like surfacey and deadpan kind of like, what? Love it. So thank you, Cheryl, for emailing me back. That's so awesome. We talked about the glitter bomb. Oh, okay. There is a deleted scene of this waitress that did not make the show. And I took a picture of her because I think that that is the worst thing when you are in a show or a commercial or whatever and you get cut.
Oh, no. Yeah, that sucks.
So I recorded it. Let me see if this is the right one.
Hiya, sweetheart. You looking for some company?
No. Oh, could you refill this plate for me? A little bit of everything with an emphasis on bacon.
Okay.
So basically...
That music.
I know, the music is so loud. Everyone will be able to hear it a little bit better, but basically,
sounds like a carnival too. It's not like the it's not like the music like that they were playing. That's basically like she's my cherry pie, like, and the other part, it's like carnival.
Oh my god! And I took a picture of her, so I will post her in our stories. She deserves credit. She had lines. Also, Ron's doing a crossword. Did you guys see this? He's doing a crossword as he's eating his buffet food.
Of course he
is.
It's
just like more like he's so removed from being in a strip club. He has just he's not even facing out towards the dancers. He's right. Facing the other way.
That's a great
He's just like
point.
Does not care.
Yes. And then Leslie has the deep cut moment where she says she's ashamed to be
his deputy
because they learn that, you know, he's going to ask Wendy out.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah.
Come Leslie on, calls her an insensitive little hussy. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I have a question.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is there another?
Yes.
Did you see that deleted scene just then? Was Okay, never mind. That answered my question because I literally have this and I don't know why I didn't connect it. Ron has a pencil.
Yeah.
When
that's for the crossword.
Yeah. But we don't know he's doing a crossword, right? In the show.
No, that's not in the deleted scene. That's in the show.
It's in the show?
Yeah, yeah, dude, go back. I'll take a picture of it. It's like, it's very, if you're not looking, I don't know why I caught it, but I was just, I guess I've seen the show too.
Because I saw the pencil.
But it's like, right. It's like on the side of his plate.
Okay. All right. Cool. That was my question, was why does he have a pencil? And you answered it already. My bad.
Right. No, you're good. Does anyone have anything to say before we meet Wendy's date?
No, I just have to say, I've tried to put myself in Wendy's shoes. And even if I didn't have feelings for the person I was married to for 3 years, I don't think I'd be ready to go on a date the day of my divorce.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if
think
they
I'd need
dated,
to resettle
like,
my life.
Yeah. Do you think she dated like during their marriage?
Maybe. But I just don't think she sees it as like the wedding was any sort of hindrance.
No.
It was just like, this is just a thing that's a part of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep on going doing my life the way that I do my life. And that's it, you know?
Yeah. And they were clearly not like, and also Thomas passed out this moment. So he doesn't have any, you don't see his point of view on this at all. It might be like a totally normal thing that like.
Right. Maybe they've talked about it. Probably not, but like.
Maybe this is her long-term boyfriend. Huh? No, because they know the husband, not the husband. But yeah, it's like, it is really soon, but maybe it's just like, yeah, it's so, I mean, they obviously did nothing. They probably like sleep in different rooms. Like they're roommates, you know, at that point.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying though, Maddie, where it seems like it would be a little bit more time than what she's giving it. But like you said, Sean, maybe she also like has been dating before. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
does the documentary crew know that this is a green card wedding, or have all of them been spy shots?
I think the documentary crew knows.
Okay.
Because
they're in the house.
Yeah. I think the only people that don't know it are like Leslie and, well, actually everybody.
The
except
office,
for Ron,
except for Ron.
Because Ron
right?
found out. Yeah. So, But this dude that Wendy is dating is called James Ball. That's his name. I didn't see a ton of stuff that I've seen him in, but he's done a fair amount of work, like guest stars and stuff. I also messaged his agent. LOL.
Hi, guys. When I went into audition for Phil, I thought it would be fun if he was really kind of turned on and excited about all the chaos that was going on. So with those lines, when he's asking, you know, Tom's wife, like, he's saying, "You're married?" And then, you know, when they come in carrying Tom and Tom's drunk and, you know, I'm going, you know, "That's your boss? Who's he carrying?" And I just kind of played it in that first audition, like, yeah, it was like the most exciting evening that Phil could have. And, you know, I remember Allison Jones, the casting director, kind of like pausing after I did, after I was done, and they were laughing. They were laughing in the room, and she was like, "All right, you know what, like, I'm going to bring you back for the callback, but if you could just kind of, you know, do it the opposite, like, do it the way that they shot it in this show, where it's just like, you know, it's not great news that, you know, my date is married and, you know, the chaos is more out of confusion." And look, Allison Jones is like, I mean, that casting office is great. It's just such a warm environment for actors to go in. So it was just fun to kind of like play around with her. But I definitely remember that. Yeah, almost like kind of, you know, playing Phil as a weirdo, like the opposite of what happened in the show. And then I'm sure you get this a lot, but, you know, when we actually shot it, I mean, Amy Poehler and, I mean, Nick Offerman, I guess specifically, could not have been warmer human beings, nicer people. And I feel like, you know, if Amy's the first name on that call sheet, everything kind of filters down from her. You know, she's the leader. And it was just such an amazing environment to work on, just, you know, creative and fun and funny. And I think that just, you know, all stems from her just being awesome. You know, so it was nothing but fun for me to work with those people. And then the last thing I remembered, you know, is when we were going through rehearsals on the set in that house, and we were just running through the lines. I remember, again, Amy specifically just kind of like dying laughing when, you know, I was kind of saying my lines in rehearsal, when we were just blocking the thing. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, "Oh, wow, she's probably doing this by design, like, to make me feel comfortable, you know, to make me feel, you know, funny, and that this is, again, just like a really free, easy environment to work in." And I don't know for a fact if that's what she was doing it. I mean, maybe, look, maybe I was that funny. but like I said, I'm guessing it was planned, and that's really smart of her to do, because, yeah, it definitely made me feel more comfortable. So just a really, really one of those like great experiences you have as an actor. Thanks, guys.
But that is a lovely home, Leslie says. Yeah. You have a lovely home.
That's so. That's our Southern upbringing in Leslie, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right.
Has to say something nice.
Yeah. A little Midwest moment. Great fire in the background. Great fire.
Yeah, great fire. Great little living room.
Romantical wines being poured.
Their night is definitely ruined.
Right, totally. Yeah. Oh my God.
I love Ron's
Who's he
line.
Carrying? Yeah.
"Where do you want this?"
Yeah.
Oh my God. Leslie thinks Tom's from Libya because they have this little explanation. There's this, I almost recorded all of it, but it was kind of long, so I left it. But she has so many questions that she asks him, like, "Right, because you're from Libya, right?" And then she says, like, "What language do you speak in the home? Was the ceremony in English? What do you do about taxes? Are you gay?"
Is that a deleted scene?
Huh?
That's a deleted scene? I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's kind of a runner throughout the show. They do make a lot of references to... Is it always Libya or him just not being born, you know?
Yeah, there are, there's she's talked couple about it before. Moments. I can't remember which country she said before.
Yeah.
But, or maybe she didn't say a country. She was just asking where he was from.
Yeah.
I think she asked that too. She was like, "So you're from..."
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "South Carolina."
Right.
Or
exactly.
Whatever he said. Is it South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he is from in real life. They, they pulled that from the show. So because that was like, or pulled that from real life rather, and gotcha. Put it in the show. I also really love this performance by Andy when he's being respectful mm-hmm. of Mark and Anne. This was the weird moment where like Mark's on the computer being like, okay, so this angle is this, and Anne's like, okay. And that was me saying that because Anne seemed to be into it a little bit.
Yeah, it's like she's showing interest in his work.
Right, right. But Mark gives him a handshake. His little, like, he has, like, a groan after he says goodbye, A-cakes, like, hello, Anne. And then he's like, oh.
I know.
It's so he expects sweet. Her to breaks follow. My heart.
He says
I expected you to chase me right there, and you didn't, and you that's did. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
Funny.
I love it. I think... I can't decide. I think this is my favorite line, but I'm not sure. The, oh, you like your wife? That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's good.
Sums the whole episode up.
This is when she finds glitter in her shirt still.
Yeah, and he has it in his crotch.
My crotch looks like a disco ball.
Yeah.
Which I wonder if they did that because it was too, it would be too hard to actually do the actual glitter on set because it's true. If you have those tiny flecks of glitter, they are it's so hard to get out of anything.
That's so true, Maddie. Yeah, that's why they did the confetti more so than the actual glitter.
That's what I was thinking.
It sticks to your like sweat, like pores almost or something. Nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at the tag, you guys.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say before I talk about Divorce Horse one more time?
No. I just, the one thing I like about the tag is you can hear the galloping. And like Ron almost knows what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Just the anticipation is so good.
Yeah.
So
you wonder
real.
If this is the first time he's gotten the Divorce Horse from Leslie before. It seems like something she uses this a lot.
Oh, right.
This is
That's a great question. I wonder.
Do they all get it on their birthday every year?
Oh, like, right. But I mean... Yeah, because Tom's reaction at the beginning could have gone either way. Like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been the first time or this could have been like, the 18th time.
Yeah, this is not new.
Interesting. Great question. Mm. Okay. Leslie, sorry, of course. Yes. Okay. She called you selfish, of course. The balloon pop is scary, okay? That was scary because he like really flinches. I thought that was great. I asked how long the song, which we'll talk about the balloon pop in a moment, but I asked John how long the song went on because I assumed it was longer since like, especially the first one, because they really only say like two lines. So you got a divorce, of course, of course. And it's like the end. But this one was longer, obviously. So I asked how long all of them went on. And I was curious, like, what he had to memorize versus what he aired, like that kind of thing. So this is what he said about that.
Actually, everything that you see in the program, the scene with Amy Poehler, and then the scene at the end... the tag, that was all scripted. Everything that was there is everything you see is what was on the page. We did do some improv-ing, on the tag, Amy Poehler and I, cause she eventually came into the scene after, Nick pops my balloon. She came into the scene to apologize and me and her had some fun improv-ing with each other. But none of that made it into the show, which is fine. It was a lot of fun, and I will always have those memories of, you know, getting to improv with Amy Poehler, who is, you know, a comic legend.
That's so cool.
That is so cool. I know. I wish they would have put those in the deleted scenes, but I didn't see any. And then, okay, the second thing... I asked, this was one of my, this is probably my second favorite clip that he sent in, which was, because it's just amazing. But I also asked if he broke because it was so funny. And I was like, did you laugh at all? Like, what was that like? Because it was also so funny to have that flinching moment with Ron. And I would have, I don't know what I would have done, I guess. But anyway, and especially now that he talked about improvising with Amy, like that led me to think like even more so, did you break? But because I also told him it was such a big deal to be like the end of an episode, like to be a tag in an episode, I feel like, in like you're the star of it, basically. I was like, that's such a huge deal. Like, you're the whole reason why we have a tag. But anyways, this is what he said to that.
No, I never broke. I never laughed. When you're a smaller role in a show, when you're a guest star or a co-star, you really don't have the opportunity to break. because everyone just wants you to be there to do your job, get it done, and leave. So I did not break. However, I have a great story about Nick. Before he popped my balloon, which we recorded that scene several times, we filmed that scene several times, and after, I don't know, the third, fourth, fifth take, they were resetting, and he motioned for me to lean over to him, and I did, in my horse outfit, and he said to me, which I will always hold in a very, very close place to my heart, he said, "I think you're hilarious. I'm really having trouble not laughing at what you're doing, but I can't laugh at you because I can't. But I just wanted to let you know you're very funny." And I was like, okay. And then the director leaned in and whispered things to me and then whispered things to Nick. And that's when, I'm assuming, the director whispered, "I want you to pop his balloon." So I did not know that was going to happen. So the reaction that I have, very real. It was a lot of fun. It was, I think it's probably the most fun I've ever had on set. Such wonderful people.
That was that one. I cut it short. I'm sorry.
Nice.
But yeah, oh my God, can you believe that? He didn't know the balloon was going
to
pop.
Funny. I have to go back and watch that.
I feel like that's some SNL level shit right there. Because sometimes they'll change the cue cards on SNL like right before the show. And so Colin Jost won't know what the joke is he's reading. And I feel like it's that kind of moment where you're reacting at the same time. It's very cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what I was like so fascinated by, because I was like, when I was watching it for the first time, I was like, that flinch is so like real. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard as an actor, if you've done it a bunch of times, to imagine it as never having happened before. So you've got to react to it how you would actually react to it.
Right.
So to have that and keep that take, oh my God, that's just such movie magic to me. Or like actor magic, I guess. I don't know. But, and director magic, because the director was
to have that insight and to do it that way.
Troy Miller. Oh my God, Troy. Come on here.
Troy, come on the podcast.
But I also just love that story about Nick Offerman. Every time, literally every guest we've ever had has said Nick Offerman makes it a point to go up to you and say either hello, how are you?
That's so cool.
Or if it's like super special, which most of the time he does this, it's like, you're doing a great job. I want to laugh at what you're doing, but I clearly can't because I'm acting. And I mean, Cheryl said that even in this one. And like Mel said that when he was like, Mel Cowan, the red faced man who was, you know, being, who was yelling at Nick. Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes me so happy to know that Nick Offerman is such a, like, king.
So cool. Nick, come on the podcast.
Nick! Yeah. Nick and Megan! We should have an in bed with Nick and Megan little thing. Oh, I think I would, like, pass out.
I would cry.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'd straight up cry.
You'd have to compose yourself.
I really
would.
For
sure.
I mean, if I'm being honest, I'd probably just be the same craziness, but
take a shot before.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God. So nuts. But so thank you, John, for that. The last thing, I asked what we can promote for him and, what he's doing now. And I literally said, tell us everything. And so that is why it starts like this, but why his answer starts this way. But this is his final thing.
All right. I'll tell you everything. As an actor right now, I've recently been auditioning quite a bit and doing lots of self-tapes. Everything is self-tape right now, which means the actor puts everything on tape himself and then sends that to the casting director, which, you know, has positives and negatives. I actually much prefer going into the room. I don't know if that's because I'm a theater actor originally or whatever, but I much prefer just being there in the room and performing for the casting director. But self-tapes, you know, they do have some positives. You can start over. If you have a bad take, you can you don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, can I start over? You just start over and just send the best take. I mean, it's nice. Aside from being an actor, I also produce films, and so far I produced 6 or 7 short films. Our first short film, Stigma, is available on Amazon Prime right now, and it's a story of a young man who finds out he is HIV positive, and it is his first day with this information and his interactions with the people he normally sees in his life. Him being the only one that is aware of this, you know, news. It's available on Amazon Prime right now, and it's a great film. Please watch it. Aside from that, we produce several other short films and two feature films. One Sick for Toys, which is available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, all the major streaming services. Also, we just had a new film come out, which is entitled Roadhead. And Roadhead is a horror LGBTQ comedy, which stars Paul T. Taylor, who also played Pinhead in the most recent Hellraiser film. And it also stars Elizabeth Gruyon and Damian Joseph Quinn and Clayton Ferris. And Clayton Ferris is also a friend of mine from Dallas who I've known for years and years. So it was a lot of fun to cast a friend who I've known for so long. But Roadhead is great. It's out and available now on Tubi and Amazon Prime and lots of other streaming services. So please check it out. Yeah, that's what I have going on right now. You can follow me at John Paul, at the John Paul, T-H-E-J-O-N, no H, P-A-U-L, or at Roadhead Kills. On Instagram. Thank you so much for asking me to share and answer questions for your podcast. It was truly fun to answer questions about such a fun role. And I hope people enjoy it. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time. And we'll talk soon.
So sweet.
That is so sweet. Mm-hmm. What a great response.
Great response. And you guys, you should have seen the Google sheet that I sent with all my questions. It was a lot of questions, as you could see, and it was great. So I just thank you so much, John, for that. I will post all of the things in our show notes so that you guys can follow him and follow all of his movies and things that he produces and does. I actually follow, he mentioned Clayton Ferris, this actor that's in the last movie. I actually follow him, and for whatever reason, like, he came up in my Instagram, and I was like, I don't know why I follow him. It must have been some LA thing, but I think that was just so random. And
yeah, how, like, random,
like
small worldy.
Yeah, small worldy, that's what, yeah. It is.
Maybe he's your husband, Clayton. Are you single? We'll find him,
Clayton. Or maybe he's gay. That's okay if you are.
You're gonna turn someone tonight.
You're gonna turn someone tonight. But anyway, so seriously, thank you to John Paul Burkhardt and Cheryl Texiera for sending me emails and voice memos. It means so much, and I cannot even wait to see if, like, what people say about it. So that's gonna be great. But yeah, so that's the tag. Is there anything else that you guys have left to say?
No, thanks for having me on. This is fun.
We love having you on.
I know.
So anytime. Fun.
Feels like friendship. A college reunion. In our small ass apartment, Holly, with creme brulees.
Oh my god! What a time!
I don't think we've told that story on the pod. I'll have to post a picture.
Yeah.
We made creme brulees one time in college. That's pretty much it.
It was great. Did it end up not working or something?
Well, we didn't get like the cream custard thing to, like, stick as hard as it should have, like a gelatin almost. Mm-hmm. But we burned the top. Yeah. I specifically bought a little fire torch thing. Yeah. From Sir La Chob,
wasn't there a whole thing where it was difficult to get that thing going? Was there
maybe
something happened? I don't know. I remember something happened, but it was funny.
Do you remember what? Sorry,
she wasn't listening.
Do you remember the flame torch thing?
Yeah. Did we have a problem with
that? Broken, like, or being a problem with it?
I don't remember there being a problem with it.
Maybe I made that up. Maybe it's a different beach.
I have the picture though. It was great.
You still have the torch?
I do have the torch.
Should do that.
I know. I should see if it still works. We'll see. Pizza night, creme brulee night. I still have the ramekins, too, that those go in.
Oh, yeah, because you like sugar the
ramekins. Yep, and I have the same KitchenAid.
We should make soufflés.
Ooh. I would try that.
A souffle.
Love a souffle. Well, so Sean actually had a little moment with the pond, which was fun, where he like said that Parks and Recreation should be in the title of the name.
Because I was wondering when you search it in podcasts, it doesn't come up for some reason. If you search Parks and Rec, it just doesn't come up. But if you do Park Pals, it does. But all the other ones come up. So we were wondering why.
Yeah. And so I changed it to Park Pals, a Parks and Recreation podcast.
Yeah.
And usually it takes 24 hours to change information on there, but it immediately changed in the podcast.
And now it comes up. So when people search Parks and Rec, it's like one of the ones that people see.
Nice. Okay. Cool. Let's see if that does anything.
Yeah. Oh, I think it will. I have a good feeling about it. Yeah. Because if we're already on lists without having Parks and Rec, like in the name, mm-hmm. if people search Parks, I remember Vincent saying that when we interviewed him.
Yeah. Because he was one
of the first ones, and he searched Parks and Rec, and it didn't come up. And I was like, oh, we're not famous yet enough. We don't have subscriptions or reviews or whatever.
Right.
Also, anybody listening to this, take like 30 seconds, and you can go down the bottom, do a review. It really helps everybody out. Just do one. It can
Thank you, Sean.
Be a negative. No, only positive. It can be negative or positive. No.
Yeah, 4 stars or more.
5 stars or more.
Okay.
5 stores or bust.
5 stores or bust.
5 stars or bust. Yeah, rate and subscribe and like and download and hit the little bell to get notified.
That's YouTube, but the plus sign.
Welcome everybody to my channel.
No, no, you're right though that
smash that subscribe
smash
button.
Smash that subscribe button. It's a little more tricky because there used to be a button that literally said subscribe. Yeah. And I'm sorry if this is boring to anyone that it's like, but it's you might like to know the behind the scenes. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what this is all about. But there's now they've done an update and the plus sign. If you click the plus sign in the top right corner, it turns into a check mark, and that means that you're subscribed and it will automatically download. Usually.
Right now, just do it right now.
Do it now. Yeah. Right now. And all I need is one sentence: best pod ever. The end. But if you have better things to say, then say it. Who cares? Keep in mind, I edit this shit, so don't say anything mean about that.
Just be, try to make the world a positive place. Just write something nice and go about your day. Come back and listen to us next time.
Somehow this turned into like some sort of
No, you're all negative. Great. No, you guys are all great.
You guys
all
are awesome. Listeners.
Especially you.
Yeah, just you. Think about the one that's listening.
You have a great day.
Especially you.
You're doing great, bud.
Thing that Marc Maron does in his podcast when he starts. How you doing? Do you get that haircut figured
out?
Do you get that doctor's appointment all worked out?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Get it done? But I appreciate that somebody thinks about it.
You're gonna get it. Just get after it.
Yeah,
that's so great.
How's the cats? Yeah,
I love Marc Maron so much. He's actually playing in St. Louis next weekend. You should go.
Are you gonna be in Arizona?
Yeah. That's okay. St. Louis/Missouri has one of the highest rates of COVID, so I don't know.
Yeah,
even he said that, so I'm sorry.
He's not coming to Nashville.
I know. I need him to.
I would love to see him at Zany's or something.
I know.
Marc, if you're listening.
Marc Maron.
Come on this podcast.
If you are listening, or if someone who knows Marc Maron is listening, come on. Get him to come to Nashville. He has been to Nashville. He played the T-Pack, actually.
That's right.
The smaller lounge. Or not lounge. I don't know why I called it a lounge because of Jurassic Fork, I guess. But
you can stay at our house. It's free.
Literally.
We'll have dinner. We'll cook you food.
Oh my God. He could stay in the studio and play guitar with you.
We'll have. We're in a recording. Mm-hmm. Come on, Marc.
What a dream. Or the show could literally be here.
Yeah. Yeah. We have friends.
We do have friends. They'd have to pay. Anyway, so on a serious note, thank you so much if you've been listening up until now. We really appreciate it, mm-hmm. and we really enjoy making this for you. So thank you to everybody. There's really nothing else that I have left to say. I think that it's a little late here, so we probably won't do a therapy moment, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went long.
Next week – oh, wait, never mind. The way that this is recorded, that would have been wrong. So last week you heard a 30-minute therapy session because it was too long from hunting trips. So we had a 30-minute therapy sesh. So that's going to happen, or that happened last week for you guys. Mm-hmm. And then so if we do like therapy sessions, we might intersperse them throughout, you know, the weeks or as a bonus episode.
That's a good
or something.
Idea.
But I feel like every time we do it, we have a bit of a therapy moment happening anyway. So, you know what I mean?
We had the whole strip club thing. That
we go on tangents.
Yeah, we do.
A lot of shit.
It's our thing, though.
Right. And also a friendly reminder, if you have questions or things that you want us to research or people that you want us to reach out, like for reach out to, like for example, Allison really wants us to get Ben Schwartz, and I'm like putting that into the universe as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm going to get him, but I'm going to get him. And I'm having a good feeling about this whole like Parks and Rec being in the title.
Yeah, so
hopefully people can find it, and then Ben Schwartz will be like, oh, look at this. But seriously, to people that are listening, thank you. And thank you. We hope that you have a lovely week. Sean, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So fun. Maddie, love you.
Love you
have
too.
A great evening.
Good luck at dress shopping. That'll be so much fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll come back with pictures. I'll post them in the story. Okay. You know, I have.
Not like pictures of the dress, though, Holly.
Right. Oh, no. Experience. Just of us. We're going to go to Froyo because there's a place called Zoyo. Is that what it is?
Do it after.
After the wedding? Oh, yeah. Our wedding the shopping? Yeah.
Because you might eat too much and then can't get.
No, that's not going to happen.
Is that a thing?
No.
We'll go get a drink after. Calories. Sorry, what were you saying, Sean?
Nothing important. Like most of the things
he
I
was
say.
Just saying not to have froyo before you try on the dress because it might make you feel bad.
I don't know.
I'm not eating for the next 4 days.
I physically don't bloat.
Maddie,
I'm kidding.
Do that. Maddie, don't be joking about that. You know, I don't take it seriously.
I know.
Or I do take it seriously. I don't take it lightly is what I meant to say.
I don't take it not seriously.
You guys, okay, I'll have a therapy session just for like 5 seconds really fast.
Yeah.
I found like, shut up. I found a like an old journal and it's a through line in my journals that I am constantly worried about my weight. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. I think about it and I think about like, not in my recent journals, because you guys know I'm like been on a journey. But like that was such a thing when I was younger. And mm-hmm. so if I can prevent anyone from ever having that as a thought in their mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of like, I'll get a date when I lose weight.
Yeah.
I'll like look pretty when I lose weight. I'll do this when I lose weight. Like, fuck the noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was, yeah. Like,
fuck the noise.
Time's up on like health and weight loss. Health, not health. Time's
up
on
go
weight
be
loss.
Healthy. Yeah. But
go
be healthy just to be healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also, Holly and I and Sierra are starting a fitness challenge tomorrow. It's like a kettlebell thing. And we're really excited. And we're
going to do it. We'll take pictures.
Say our name, but we have a...
You won't say what name?
Our name, our group, Kettlebell.
Oh, you can say it. We have an explicit warning.
Oh, we're called the Kettle. Oh, no, no. My mother might listen to this. Anyhow.
She
doesn't know of... Oh, yeah.
Can I say it?
Oh, yeah. It's not even that bad.
I say it?
It's not even that bad.
So we're thinking about starting a group chat, Maddie and listener, that for all of us that are doing the Kettlebell Challenge, and I said we could be called the Kettlebell Cunts. Sean was like very precious, and I don't know why I didn't think of this first. This is where my head is, where he was like, well, we could just be the kettlebell queens as
no,
we progress.
No, I would say, yeah, as we progress, the name gets
better.
As we get better, the names get better.
The names
as
get
we
better.
Get less trashy,
but now
the
I
names
like
get less
kettlebell
trashy.
Cunts, so that's our name. But anyhow, so that being said,
with
we're
a
doing
K,
a
kettlebell cunts with a K.
So nice. You'll have to, hopefully in 6 weeks, we finish and we're good.
Yep, we'll be great. Anyhow. Be fun. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Sean.
Yep.
Thank you, John Paul Burkhart and Cheryl Texiera.
Thank you, Holly.
Oh, practice.
Queen.
Thanks. All right, guys. Well, have a great week, and we will see you when we see you.
See ya.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
Smash that like.
Bye.
Bye.
Maddie, say bye.
Bye.
There's a Parkinson's Pals, and there's also therapy, too.